someone's going to get offended. It's just the way the world works. So to hopefully save everyone a little time and or energy, here's this. The opinions that you hear are those of the host and callers, and not those of iHeartMedia, its management, or advertisers.
The Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning.
Got the best last talk show in the morning anywhere in the country. It's the Monsters Mornings Real Radio 104.1 broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. That's a free application for your phone, and you can get us anywhere in the world when you have that. You can get the entire radio station live when you type in WTKS or Real Radio Orlando. You can get live radio, which is awesome. And then we also have our own channel on iHeartRadio, and it's a podcast channel, so you can get the past shows. So go to the podcast section and type in Monsters in the Morning, and bam, you got it. It's really cool, so check it out if you get a chance. It's on iHeartRadio. What's up, guys? I'm Russ Rollins, host of the program, and with almost everybody this morning, we're going to do this until around 11. Here's the GOAT Repping Champion of Palaga, Florida, the Big Bamboo Dirty Jim.
Hello.
Our producer's Angel Boom, Angel Rivera.
Good luck.
And then it's me, and then that's what we got today. So it's the holidays, and that's what happens sometimes. People got stuff to do. Carlos's birthday this week, but he's got to fly out to L.A. to go do, I can say what he's doing, but he's doing some really cool project in L.A.
And, another Playtex commercial.
Right. And I'm real curious. I think he flew out last night, and of course, you know, I saw some more news on the fires. Still, fire's not any better in California.
Yep.
And the area where he's flying into, it looks like it's directly affected. But, you know, a lot of times on the news, it can look like, oh, my God. You know, even like here in Orlando, it's like, oh, my God, the hurricane hit Florida. Orlando must be a mess. And then, like, we barely have anything happen.
Yeah, I think he's flying in LAX. Is he?
Yeah, that's probably where it's at. And just so you get it, and this is coming from the LA Times, the California wildfires are now larger than New York City and Boston combined.
Combined.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's moved up to now being the fourth biggest fire in the state of California ever.
But the actual airport would have to be on fire, and I'm guessing that probably even half of that airport they could just shut down and continue flying in. I mean, I think that's one of the busiest airports in the world.
No, but what I mean, here's the thing. You're not flying into L.A. County. You're not flying into Orange County and Los Angeles and not going to be impacted by this.
No, hey, 100%.
Yeah. Also, remember, too, at the beginning of the year, the very beginning of the year, when we had the drought and it was really, really hot, remember there were some planes that couldn't take off because of the
Density of the air?
Yeah, the crazy heat or whatever. The planes actually wouldn't fly properly. I wonder if, with all that smoke and stuff, if that would affect people landing.
The
weird
phenomenon that's going on there is the Santa Ana winds. Mm-hmm. So the smoke is not staying there.
Oh,
if you look at some of the shots they've taken from the Skylab and stuff, if you see it, the trails of smoke are going straight out into the ocean. And you can see it from space.
Wow.
So the smoke isn't staying like over Los Angeles. As quickly as this stuff is burning, it's being swept out to sea.
Dude, when I went to LA for my honeymoon years ago when I got married, like 15, 12 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And we were out there. That was during one of those times. Angel, when you were out there, did you ever experience the Santa Ana winds?
Yeah.
Dude, it is the craziest thing ever. You know, I've told this story before.
I never saw it.
I told this story before. I my wife had never been to Los Angeles, and we flew into Vegas and then drove over to LA through the desert, which is beautiful. Everyone should do it. It's fun. And I was, the whole time, I'm like, you're not going to believe this weather. You know, we got married in September. I said, Tori, you're not going to believe it. It's going to be insane. It's 70 degrees all the time. It's like Wonderland out there. We get out there. We're sitting on Sunset Strip at like 10 o'clock at night having some wine and appetizers or whatever. And Russ, it was 85 degrees and a constant hot, hot wind blowing. It's awful, and it never stops.
Well, so the better way to describe it, so people get an idea of it, and we were talking about earlier this week with Deborah, it's like Category 1 hurricane winds.
Yeah.
They're getting 80-mile-an-hour gusts in some areas.
Exactly. Hot hurricane winds.
Hot hurricane winds.
You know,
that disgusting.
The first time I flew into L.A. was after that whole thing happened with us with the Donald McDougal thing.
Yeah,
and so they flew me out to Las Vegas to be on the Lisa Gibbons show.
Yeah.
And I'd never been there before. And we fly into L.A. And as soon as I got off the plane, I had never experienced nor seen smog before. But it is the grossest. It's like this yellow cloud over the city, and I'm like, what the hell is that?
It looks like floating diarrhea.
It, it, no,
does. It looks like floating diarrhea. But of course, and that's when the winds, I guess, were not blowing, so it holds it all in that valley area, I guess. But right now, I guess, because the way the winds are blowing, like none of the smog, is that anything you have to worry about? Or I wonder if that collects because of all the smoke.
Man, I don't know. They haven't mentioned smog at all during this entire thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know about that. I just know that it is kind of amazing.
No, like I said, all that stuff gets blown out.
Yeah, all of it does, yeah.
Yeah, so during the Santa Ana winds, this is, you know, as far as air quality, I'm not sure how it compares because all the debris and whatnot, the particles flying in the air. But literally, you can go and view these images, and all of it is getting blown out to sea.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, if you want to text us, people already have started texting us in the morning. We appreciate that. You can send us a text by going to 77031. That's 77031. It's pretty much the way we communicate with you now, and it's you know, interactive. You know, you can text us. We'll text you back. Sometimes we'll read it on the air. It's a great way to get hold of the show. So texting us is very cool, and it's brought to you by David Moss Toyota, and we do appreciate it. It's something that we use quite frequently, and you can text all the radio shows here on Real Radio, and they appreciate that. Emailing me is easy, russ@wtks.com, and the more we read these on the air, the more letters I get, which is awesome. So I've got one to read sometime today, which is asking us a question to get our opinion, and call on the show, 407-916-1041, or toll free, it's 1-888-978-1041. I do have a big announcement today that I'm very excited to talk to you guys about. We'll do that here in a little bit. Yes, Angel?
I just getting a text message in, and we have a lot of guys that are road rangers that listen to us, so just a heads up, there's a wheelbarrow in the middle right lane before exit 104 heading east. So just a heads up. So, you know,
so wheelbarrow like fell off a truck.
It's got to be. And I like mentioning that kind of stuff because I just recently had a situation with debris in the road.
Right.
And I ran over it with my car, you know. So, and again, it's literally due to the construction right here in the interchange. So just whenever I can, I'll try to give you a heads up on that kind
of
stuff.
Man, when I was coming in this morning, of course, I leave my house at like 5 till 5. And I'm on there probably right at 5 o'clock. And there's a guy ahead of me, and he's obviously texting or something. Running off
the road,
and he almost hit one of those big orange, what would you call it, like 55-gallon drum things.
Oh, really?
That would have been fun for him.
And in order not to miss it, he had to jerk himself, you know.
Easy.
You know what I'm saying? Jerk himself over.
That helps you drive better?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I got to try that.
Let me test that theory.
Hey, if you see me in traffic today, look away.
I'm just shaking my head.
Just look away.
Damn, dude. You know,
dude, we had it yesterday. We had an overturned vehicle again right up the road. The traffic yesterday, I-4 eastbound, was brutal all day.
Yeah, yeah.
All morning. I mean, it never stopped.
It's the worst, man. It really is. But when I had to drive back from Lake Wales, yeah. I took I-4 instead of taking that 429.
Yeah.
And it's just
a nightmare. I don't know why you did it. 429 is like
I would have taken 429.
It's like a runway comparatively, you know?
You know why? Unfortunately, I'm this weird, like, stuff that's comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with I-4 because I've driven it so many times. Well,
then,
stupid.
You know what
I say
then?
Not even the I-4 you remember.
You know what I say then? Wait.
I know. I have to.
Because you sit there and wait with your comfort.
That's going to be a little bit of the theme of today, is you got to embrace change sometimes. So I need to change. You know, they've made that your 429 for a reason, you know, to relieve traffic on I-4. But I was like, oh, no, I know I-4. I'll just take that. And, man, you're just sitting there.
Yeah. And, look, so just coming off a cruise and being in some, you know, like St. Thomas and then in San Juan, Puerto Rico, right?
Yeah.
Haiti didn't really experience traffic so much because it was one of those tourist areas where they just buy a corner of the island and set up shop and you just go there and, you know, nothing.
So all they do is clean that up.
Yeah, but people, you know, even with the I-4 traffic, when you go to the islands and, you know, traffic stops and lights are just a suggestion, you know, that's pretty interesting. There are people just driving, like, you know, through cafes. They don't even care. I mean, just any way they can get forward, they take. They don't really, not really concerned. Unless you're a tourist, then everything in the world comes to a stop for you.
That's the way it was in Jamaica, too. And remember Jamaica?
A suggestion.
Yeah, just maybe you might want to stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Possibly. We're not
tap the brakes, buddy.
Yeah, and they just haul
I'll
ass.
Tell you what, the best learning experience for me was learning, you know, being able to drive in PR.
Dude, I'm telling you, that San Juan was it. But I had, you know, it was funny.
Hey, you didn't tell us about San Juan. You said it was beautiful quickly,
we weren't there very long. I mean, the entire stop was only 6 hours, so we were only on the island for like a couple hours or whatever. But we walked around old San Juan. It reminded me New Orleans.
Could you even tell that the hurricane had hit?
There are still plenty of shops in the shopping area that were running on generators. So
really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, the traffic there is island traffic. It's exactly what you expect. It's a lot of cars in a small area, And but you know what? The people are very courteous to each other. Not one honk of a horn. No one yelling. Everybody just letting everybody do their
thing.
You
were in a different San Juan then.
I was in old San Juan.
I know, I'm teasing you.
Yeah.
Because they're very conscientious of that being a touristy area.
Does it remind you a lot? See, I have this theory that pretty much every place in the Caribbean is just like the Bahamas. Would you say it was very similar to the Bahamas?
No.
Well, you're from there. I'm asking.
Do you mean architecturally, or do you mean the vibe?
The vibe is nothing like the Bahamas.
It is nothing like the Bahamas.
No, it's a business. I mean, there's people who are living there. It's a working city. It's just old. You know what I mean?
Jamaica and the Bahamas were kind of the same.
But it's kind of weird, too, because when you get on the ship, you're 17 stories in the air. You can look down to where you were and then walk to the front of the ship and look to the other side of the island, especially as we're sailing out. And you're like, oh, there's like a whole modern city right over there, you know, pretty modern. But we were in the older, shopping, kind of cool, rustic area of San Juan.
See, I will tell you, Dirty Jim's cruise talk yesterday has me now debating whether I want to do Lake Parlin in March or go on a cruise. Because I'm like, man, a cruise does sound kind of like fun. That sounds like a beautiful ship. So I'm kind of flipping back and forth.
Parlin will cost you less.
Yeah, that's
true. That's for damn sure. Yeah. Parlin will cost you less.
And I go to Quebec this time.
Quebec, yeah.
Quebec. Quebec.
I think Americans call it Quebec, but I think it.
We just call it the Beck.
Everybody up there is Quebec. Quebec. They don't really use the U there.
Is that where they drink Beck's beer?
No, they do not. No. And look for people to be not cool.
Really?
Because you're an American.
Oh.
A lot of the even people from Canada will tell you that the Quebec people are kind of stuck in the old ways. When you go to old Quebec, that's right there on the St. Lawrence.
Yeah.
The people there who speak French, and everyone does.
What if I learn a little French?
I mean, they're going to know
I'd love to hear you speak French.
Yeah. Oui, oui.
I mean, you thought rolling your... For the French roll their R's?
They do?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, what? Man. I never heard of that.
I'm making this up. Come on, man. This was the third thing I made up this morning.
I got Jenny to say my name the other day at the Christmas party. I want to hear, can you roll all three R's? I had her say my name like five times in a row. It was fun.
You should have recorded it on your phone.
No joke. But yeah, man, it is that when you go up to Lake Parlin and drive up to Quebec, about an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever the case may be, it is really a different world. I love just driving into the city across the St. Lawrence because, like, we see rivers down here, like, oh, Suwannee, oh, St. John's, you know, those are neat.
Yeah.
And then you get up there and, like, you could put the St. John's River in the center of the St. Lawrence River, and it would look like a strand of hair floating down it. That is a real, it takes 40 minutes to get across the kind of river type thing.
I do kind of want to see that. It'd be kind of cool.
It's beautiful. I'm telling you, it is straight up beautiful.
Cruises will always be around. I'm leaning towards that. Oh, anyway, but I'm already planning next year. You know, it's 2018 is right around the corner. People on the texting service, by the way, you can text us at 77031. Someone say, hey, Russ, are you going to talk about the boy that was bullied? Yeah, of course. Listen, in one day, it's all turned around. We told you that would happen.
Now, Angel said something about this morning. We actually saw each other at our coffee shop, and he said something this morning about the boy. Now, I know only one thing about this.
Yeah.
We'll go to break, and you can inform me. I will not look about anything.
Yeah.
But he said that the GoFundMe account has lost its mind and has like well over 50K in it.
But now it's been halted.
They shut it down.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why about that. Right, a big announcement too today. So you want to stick around for that? We'll let you know about tomorrow is our Christmas wish show. We'll let you know about that. We got our big show coming up next Friday, and something special attached to it that we'll be able to tell you about. All right, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monsters in the Morning.
Real Radio Orlando on Facebook, brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC.
Well, as predicted, things in this country turn around like that. Everybody loves you for a day on social media, and then we tear you down. That's the way it works.
You got to be ready for that spotlight.
Got to be ready for it if you want the spotlight. That's true.
Hey, or you have to be genuine.
I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim and Angel. Now, I got to tell you, I might have a different perspective on this than you guys do, but and that's okay. That's what the whole thing's about, right? But this kid, this is Keaton Jones. You remember us talking about it yesterday. the kid that, you know, is on video, his mom videoed him, and he talks about being bullied at school. And, you know, he's got, like, is that called cleft palate?
Yep.
He got cleft palate.
He had some tumors also, so he's got scarring on his head for him, surgeries for that.
But, you know, he's not he's a good-looking little kid. I mean, he's not a bad-looking kid, you know, and very well-spoken for his age. Was he 10 or something like that?
Middle school, yeah. Middle so 10, school, 11, yeah.
10 or 11 years old. Very well spoken. And I heard this particular clip. I did something yesterday that I don't, normally don't do. And I flipped around the dial to listen to other radio shows and stuff. I normally don't do that. But this story kind of captivated me. So I was trying to listen to it. And everybody said, you know, the same things that we said. Like, oh, my God, it's heartbreaking. Oh, my God, you know, I want to go to school and kick, find the kids that were pouring milk on him.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think?
What a waste of milk.
Oh, man. If you're that kid's parents, the one that poured the milk,
yeah.
Oh, you're embarrassed.
Oh, yeah, it's awful.
No, but you're not, though. Think about it. This is what sucks about this. We're not going to talk anymore about him being bullied.
Because now it's about this. Okay, so somebody, and I don't think it was the mother, somebody else started a GoFundMe account to get money for this kid to go to college, which is nice. I have no problem with that. If somebody wants to give, then give. GoFundMe is about, you know, you give if you want to. But now I get, and there are a lot of people, I guess, a lot of celebrities jumped on board to help out, like Snoop Dogg and Demi Lovato and Chris Evans and some players for the Tennessee Titans. And a lot of, you know, people were, you know, they felt bad for this kid. They wanted to show him, hey, listen, mm-hmm. just because some other kids bully you, other people love you, you know, don't be upset. So now the GoFundMe got to over to $57,000 in donations.
Right.
And now they've stopped it because, and Angel pointed this out yesterday, and we kind of had moved on to a different topic, so we didn't bring it up. But if you go to the mother's Facebook page, she had some photos up, and with the photos up, there were some Confederate flags in there.
And it's not just the photos alone. It's what she's commented and what she said in other posts.
But here's the thing. I don't care if she got Confederate flags, pit bulls, if she's got a butler that's transgender, she has a meth lab. It has nothing to do with the kid being bullied. You know,
you're 100% correct. And if you felt if anyone felt compelled to donate, good. Here's the problem.
What?
This is not that. This is like Survivor Island. It's already been judged in past. And unfortunately, we're not going to talk anymore about Keaton. The focus has moved completely away from him.
Now it's about mom.
Now it's mom and her sister. And it looks like the sister was helping manipulate social media posts as well to get monies. And then now you've got other different sports athletes coming forward and being like, yeah, I reached out to the mom. Mm-hmm. And basically, she just told me to give money to the GoFundMe account.
That was UFC, right?
Yeah, dude. Joe Schilling.
And now, well, I guess she did an interview with Fox News, and she told Fox News that she took down the photos with the Confederate flag, and they asked her why, and she said, well, that's her business. You know, she took it down for, she said, I've taken that down for a reason. And they said, why? And she was like, well, there was a reason I took it down. Because it looked bad. That's why. Once again, it's not about the mom. It's about.
You have the ability to understand that. Look at the social media frenzy, how this started.
Yeah.
The same way that the social media frenzy that started this, and it was by that video, is the same social media that's going to a frenzy that's going to stop this. No one's going to take the time like you or I or anyone else compelled to stop and read in between the lines and hopefully somehow, some way help this kid. Now the focus has moved away from him, completely away from him. If anybody had misgivings about any of it, this mom's social media basically confirmed all your misgivings on everything social media, and that's why you shouldn't do anything, right. And screw all this, and see what the mom is, and you guys got taken by this, you know?
Well, now the school board, the district where this kid goes to school, they've come out and they've spoken, and they said, listen, anytime there's any complaint about bullying, we address it right away, and I don't know if they said they had not heard anything about this or not, but they said they address it right away, and that was pretty much their blanket statement.
Right.
Who knows if he reported it to the teachers or whatever. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, the kid was well-spoken. It touched a lot of people, obviously. I mean, a lot of people saw it, and they could identify with that. Whether it's even real or not real or whatever, it made us all for a day think about bullying, how bad it is.
For a few hours.
Thinking to punish the kid for what the mom does?
It doesn't make sense, right?
Is that a mentality we use for everyone now? Now can we punish everyone for what their parents do?
God,
isn't it kind of part of rising above the mundane and what you've been brought up in to do something greater in your life, part of learning from your parents and what they have or have not done.
Agreed.
And now we're going to hold this kid accountable for his mom putting pictures up.
How is he being punished, though?
Here's the thing. You can't rewind it. It did not make him get bullied. You know what I'm saying? The fact that she has that on her Facebook page has not changed reality at all. It's just changed the virtual reality of this, which is what they call the good word now is optics.
Yeah.
The optics of the scenario. The kid still got bullied, still got a milk poured on him, still was a laughingstock of the school for a long time, and still probably was going to get bullied at any other school he moved to, even if none of this social media stuff happened.
And no matter if his mom has a Confederate flag or not.
Oh, but here's the thing. Now this has made it all worse. Because now his mom, his family, they come off like scam artists. They're going to come off like they scammed everybody.
Well, when you include money, when you include the GoFundMe thing in anything, it raises that red flag.
It doesn't matter if
it's about bullying or whatever it is. As soon as the GoFundMe comes up, people question.
Started the GoFundMe account probably had the best intentions of it because from all indications, he had no direct link to them.
I agree.
What starts getting really sketchy is when mom and sister start doing all these other social posts to try to elicit that response.
Yeah.
And then they start shaking down athletes. Schilling, the Bellator fighter, calls the mom up. According to him, and this is on his social media page, I just called Miss Jones up. I wanted to invite her son up. And basically, she's like, just put money in the GoFundMe account.
Now, she might not have known who he was. And she's just another person calling. And like, if you want to help, this is what you can do. It doesn't mean that she was, that what she was doing was.
I got the audio if you want to hear his version of it, dude. I mean,
let's hear that. When we come back, we'll hear that when we come back. All right, you're listening to The Monsters of the Morning. Oh, man. The social media news cycle, popularity cycle, not news cycle. Well, yeah, news cycle, I guess, because it's news. Welcome back to The Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim and Angel all here today. So we're talking about Keaton Jones, which yesterday, everybody was team Keaton Jones. Everybody's like, this poor kid being bullied. This is terrible, right? So then today, you go and they look into his mom's Facebook page. I just saw some stuff too, and they go, okay. And then there are other people that are saying, and I don't know this to be true, but here, I'll just ask a hypothetical question. There's reports. Does it change the way you feel if you found out that little Keaton Jones, because of maybe the way he's raised and the things he learned at home with his mom and whoever else raised him or whatever, because there are pictures of him and the whole family with the Confederate flag and all this kind of stuff. So does it change the way you feel if little Keaton Jones goes to school and is calling other kids the N-word? Does it make a little more sense of why maybe he's being bullied?
Hit me with that again.
Allegedly, this is what people are saying.
Unconfirmed.
I don't know it to be true, but let's pretend for a second, the way you feel about the little boy and what he said, which was, you're like, oh my God, poor kid. But if you found out, oh, by the way, he also went to school and he called some of the other kids who were black the N-word. And that's why they poured milk on him. And that's why he was being picked on. It had nothing to do with the way he looked. It had nothing to do with nothing wrong. He learned from his parents that the N-word's okay to say. He said it in school. And that's why he's getting bullied. Does that change the way you feel about the whole video?
Yeah, that would change. That would definitely change the way I feel. If he caused the bullying by his own actions and not by the way he spoke or looked, that would obviously change the optics of the story.
I sound
so CNN.
That sounds very smart. We all assume that the kid was pure of heart because he's crying, he's upset, poor guy's got a hair lip or whatever you call it, and we're like, oh, that poor kid is being picked on for no reason. That's our assumption.
Well, no, there's a reason, because he has a cleft palate. I mean, that's why we thought he was getting picked on, because he talked like that because he was different.
But it does change the story if you find out, he was raised this way. He didn't know any different because that's the way he was raised.
Right.
I'm not saying he's a bad kid. I mean, he was raised that way. And so he goes to school. And, man, look, I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
You can be the coolest kid in school. You start using the N-word to your black friends, you're gonna get picked on.
Let me pause there for a second. Do you think in 2018 that even at 10 years old, with access to media and to information that we have now via our phones, internet, television, whatever, that even in the holler of Tennessee, that you don't know the N-word's a bad word now?
Oh, I'm sure he knows it.
Oh, I bet you. No.
Yeah, so you can, what I'm saying
no,
is...
No, I wouldn't be shocked. I think if he's at home And that's what he's hearing talking. You know, kids at that age, they're mimicking the adults in their life.
And I want to say once again, we're jumping to conclusions.
We're making crazy assumptions.
This is hypothetical. All I'm going off is what people said on our texting service,
might as well be graffiti on the subway.
Or might have made it up in my head.
Might as well be the ramblings of a madman.
I don't know.
Most of it is, actually.
I don't know that the kid did that. This is what people are alleging or whatever. It would change the story for me if I found out, oh, by the way, he's going to school and he's dropping the N-word. Like, okay, well, of course you're going to get bullied. Any kid would.
Yeah, but I think they'd probably get punched before you had milk poured on him, right? I mean, you're just making him whiter.
They might have gone light on him because, like, look, I'm not going to punch a guy with a cleft palate, but, you know, I will pour milk on his head.
Here's the audio from that Bellator fighter, Joe Schilling.
Okay.
I feel pretty stupid right now, people. I was pretty moved by Keaton Jones's video, so I reached out to his mom and was going to bring him out to L.A. and for a Bellator event that's coming up, big show, and introduce him to fighters, be his friend, you know. And she just wants money. She just wants me to share her GoFundMe account. And I asked what the GoFundMe account for, what is it for? And she said, oh, well, you know, Christmas is coming and I'm a single mother and blah, blah, blah. Money's tight, whatever. That's not, you make your own judgment on that, but.
Wow, he sounds pretty genuine there.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a guy making something up, but I mean, again, why would you do that?
It also sounds, too, like he's jumping onto this national story to get a little attention for the fight.
I think everybody, I mean, Dana White did it. Dana White said he was going to bring him out to a UFC fight. ESPN invited the kid to come up to Bristol.
Didn't the Tennessee Volunteers reach out to him?
He hung out with a quarterback with the Tennessee Volunteers. The Titans were doing something with him. Chris Evans invited him to come out to the Marvel thing. Yeah, Everyone did it.
I think he's done enough. The attention is brought to you. Man, I bet he wishes he could just go back into a hole and not have to deal with all this attention. Because now
people are criticizing
his mom. They're criticizing him. Now they're saying, you know, what did you do? It's the way social media is, isn't it? We've seen this time and time again. Everybody loves somebody for a day or two, and then they find a reason not to love them.
Do you remember the last guy that this happened to? I vaguely remember the parameters. I can't remember exactly what he did. Do you remember the guy that became famous and it was at one of the during the election time? The guy with the red sweater vest.
Oh yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So it was a guy that he was sitting in the audience,
sitting in the background of the panel there during one of the speeches.
He did or said something, and it was everyone thought he was the greatest thing.
He had a question or something, and he had on the red vest, within 24 hours, they went to his past and realized he had done something. I forget what it was.
It was a sexually inappropriate kind of post or something like that.
Yeah.
This guy rented a porn once. We hate him.
Yeah, what was that guy?
So ridiculous.
He was at a Trump.
I was trying to remember the last time this kind of thing happened, because it happens very quickly.
Yeah, it's famous not meaning to be famous. Just
and
kinda,
if you're not ready for it, I mean,
accidental fame.
Accidental fame. And if you're not ready for that hot white heat, you know, that's what the social media warriors are going to do. They're going to go through every single post that you've ever had.
Remember Joe the Plumber? Was it Joe the Plumber, that guy, remember?
That's familiar, but I can't remember what it was.
It was during election time as well, right?
Ken Bone is the guy with the sweater vest.
He kept saying something. One of the candidates kept using the word Joe the Plumber as to point out, like, the common man. I want to say he was a Republican guy, though.
I think you're right.
Because that guy tried to use that little bit of heat to make some, you know, cash outside girl.
I do remember that guy. Yeah, he tried to actually make that for his business.
Yeah, cash outside girl, whatever. I mean, this happens all the time, but you know what? It's so funny because we love to embrace the change and the expediting of information, but yet in the same sense, we don't know how to handle it, because really, this is a normal news cycle. It's just happening way faster than we're used to, because this story back in the day would have hit the papers. You'd read it like, hey, check that out.
And forgotten about.
Then 3 days later, you'd read it again or catch it on a news story. Oh my God, look at that. It would have taken 3 weeks for a story like this to roll out because the information was coming in. But now, because of social media, it's like the interstate of information. And you're able to watch a story morph, which would usually take a month. It happens in like 4 days now.
You know what makes it seem like more of a legitimate story? Now, you can see a story and you see it from one person. They put it up and you're like, okay, I saw that. But then when you see another person, oh, wait a minute, there's two people that see it. Oh, there's three people. Oh, and three people can make you think, my God, the world's talking about it. And really, it was only three people that posted it. But you know, we're convinced that, oh, God, if three people saw it, this must be a big, big story. And
that's the old thing where a company sees a post online that they're like, oh, my God. God, God, you know, we've got to stop that part of our company because this, you know, look at the online action. And like what you were saying, it's like it's six people in a chat group that's making just a bunch of noise. But now companies react, so why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah. And then, like you mentioned yesterday, the Chewbacca mom lady.
That was another one.
Everybody loved her for a day, and the next thing you know, she did nothing wrong. All she did was, like, they gave her some opportunities. She's like, sure, I'll go get free Star Wars stuff at Target, whatever.
How do we do that? Like, there was a point where, okay, that's enough of your fame, Chewbacca mom.
Right.
You know, and the backlash for it. And this was companies out of their own pocket. They were like, oh, what this lady did was so innocent. Yeah. I mean, she's just laughing in her car because she found this mask.
You ever notice something? This doesn't happen to beautiful people. You ever notice that the net thing, like this whole implosion of it doesn't happen to beautiful people?
Well, let me correct you on that one. What about the guy that had basically a mugshot and they're like, hey, look at that, he's a good looking convict. And that son of a guy now has a modeling career.
He's doing modeling gigs.
And they knew from the beginning he was a bad dude. It was a mugshot. They're like, look, he's a bad guy, but he's good looking. And now he's out of jail.
He's done some modeling gigs.
He's the one guy it worked out positive for because we assumed or we knew from the beginning
that he was bad. I got, you don't mind just me and you here for a second.
Yeah.
You're talking chick logic.
Oh. Well, that's what I'm here for.
What I'm saying is that's the same people who show up to Richard Ramirez's trial, the guy who poked out the eyeballs of women and claimed their love. So you can't really apply horny chick logic to this actual conversation.
If that's worked for a dude, there's got to be a woman that became famous because of her mugshot.
No, they already had that. They have there's an entire Facebook page,
understood,
and an entire web page dedicated to. This is a business. Somebody came up with the idea of scanning every single police database weekly to find the hottest chicks that were incarcerated.
Right.
And he picked up a flip book of hot chicks arrested.
Yeah, that guy was Mr. Phillips. He used to do it on the page.
Right.
They had to stop doing that because they were getting petitioned to bring the pictures down.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
God, that guy's brilliant. I'm going to steal that. Check that out next year on Fridays.
I like
that. I'm stealing it.
That's a good idea.
I'm bringing it back. They're going to have to petition it.
Yeah, I'll get news. I keep going too.
Man, that's crazy though. Yeah, usually it doesn't happen. I mean, you're right. That's a very good example. But as a rule,
this is not
happening to your normal, everyday, really good looking woman or man. I mean, that's an outlier, I think. But mostly, America will look at somebody with a cleft palate or a fat, giggling woman or whatever the case may be. And they're like, oh, they're adorable. We'll let them be famous for a little while.
The accidental fame thing is sort of funny to think about. And I'm trying to think of I thought of like Jeff Galooly. Like he had accidental fame, but he committed a crime.
The one you're talking about, really the best one, is somebody just sent it in and for some reason we let this go up time. It's a singing bum, the golden voice
golden voice, yeah, that's right.
The guy with the radio announcer voice,
yeah, because all he was doing was
begging for money.
Somebody got him on video and then he became, you know,
he's the voice of Kraft.
Everybody loved him, voice of Kraft. And then they're like, oh, listen, he left his wife, oh my god, he's got a crack
he's
problem.
Got a bunch of kids that don't talk to him anymore or whatever.
Dude, but have you heard about so the guy's name, he's got the moniker as the hot felon. I'm trying to find this up, but apparently he's traveling the world with some Harris.
It worked out.
Like some millionaire's wife. He left his wife and kids.
He's a billionaire.
Wow. and we expected it because he was a convict from the beginning, so nobody cares.
How do you get that deal?
Dude, I got to go to jail. Oh, I got to look good looking first.
Jeremy Meeks is on, hold up.
Jeremy Meeks, isn't it?
That's his name, yeah. Hold on. World's Hottest Felon.
It's even a cool name.
World's Hottest Felon.
I hate that guy.
You talk about
it. Holy smokes. You
talk about
a gimmick.
The gimmick is I'm the world's hottest felon.
Chloe Green is the chick he's just traveling the world with.
How do you get that?
Harris girlfriend.
All you got to do is be really good looking, Russ, and a lot of cool stuff happens for you.
He's tightened up since with a mugshot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at him. He's quite handsome. Yeah,
he's quite a handsome dude.
He's a handsome fella.
And he's not trying to fool you and make you think he's this pure, wonderful dude. He's like, hey, look, I'm a felon. It was a mugshot. I was in jail.
Balloon boy. Remember Balloon Boy? But that was his old man, though, right?
Yeah. That was a kid. They said he was in the balloon.
Right.
And I remember following that, going, oh, my God, this kid's in the balloon, and he's never going to get out. And he was never in there in the beginning, right? And he was never in there the entire time?
No.
Yeah.
No. That was actually kind of funny. I felt like a dick afterwards. I was like, oh, come on, Jimmy. What are you doing? You got to ask more from yourself.
It was you're right. That was funny. It was a national thing. And I remember listening to it on the radio and going, oh, my God, I got to find out. And I went in to get my hair cut. I'm like, I got to see what's happening to this kid. And when it finally landed, they were like, the kid's not in the balloon. And I'm like, oh, son of a.
When was that?
God.
How long ago was that?
We were on the air.
Were you guys in middays during that?
No, we were right here.
Yeah.
No, I think we were middays because I remember I thought I went after the show during the Phillips file, and I was listening during the Phillips file.
And Daniel wrote a song about it.
Yeah. So we were on the air.
Daniel and actually, it was Carlos and Daniel, wasn't it?
I think so.
All right. So the Balloon Boy hoax occurred on October 15th of 2009 in Fort Collins, Colorado.
2009.
2009 is what they're saying.
Yeah, that's way here. Way right here.
Yeah. Huh? That's crazy.
Well, it's crazy to think that was almost 10 years ago.
I wonder what happened to that kid.
Throw out the anchor.
Yeah, where's that kid at now?
I know.
Who was he bullying?
No, it's his old man. It was crazy as hell, right? And he was married to someone who looked like Yoko.
Well,
like the Iceland Yoko.
Yeah, and their whole thing was to try to get social media attention. That was their goal. And once they had everybody hooked in, they're like, "Oh man, this is getting way out of control." Like they didn't know CNN was going to follow them
again. It's like when you try, you get that white hot heat and you get that attention, and you're not prepared for the spotlight, and all the cracks come out.
It's so funny because usually in the entertainment world, and we've seen this a lot. I mean, the running joke is overnight success, right? I remember when Larry the Cable Guy, he worked here in the building for a long time as a guy who did the funny redneck voice, right? But when he hit, and he got that Disney movie, Cars, the very first time I saw him in the atrium, I said, yeah, I winked at him. I said, just another overnight success. And we got a good laugh about it because he'd been doing it for like 20 years before anything happened. And like Angel was saying, if you haven't prepared yourself by, I'm doing this metaphorically, by, doing that dingy club over and over and over, working yourself up to the 500 seat room and then into the 1,000 seat room and then into the arena, you know how to handle that because you've run yourself through the ringers. You know to deal with shady managers and backup singers who don't show up and guitar players who have heroin problems. You know all that, right? But when you're just shoved into the spotlight as a normal guy who got internet fame or a girl for that matter, you don't know how to handle any of that. You're not carterized yet. You don't have that shell it takes in this business to handle stuff like that.
You know what I think makes a difference though, and just like I mentioned with the guy with the good looking felon or whatever, is that if you let everyone know your shortcomings from the beginning, then
don't put on any airs.
And I'll tell you why. Here's a great example. Mark Merrow has over 900 million views on his YouTube. 900 million. That's crazy. But in his program, he talks about his shortcomings. He talks about his drug issues. He talks about his drinking. He talks about all the stuff he did. So there's nothing to really catch him on because it's like, oh, yeah, he admits all that. So there's no backlash. You know what I mean? So but a lot of these people, we assume they're pure of heart. And then people love to dig up the dirt.
Well,
it's got to be balance in life, though. That's what people want—the balance, man. They nobody automatically assumes everything's good. There's got to be balance. That way, you can like somebody.
But isn't that what we did with this kid? We assumed at first he was all good, and he could be.
No. We're not saying anything about the kid.
Yeah.
Don't mistake. No one said one word about the kid being a bad kid.
No. There are people saying that.
Not us.
No. I know, but there are people that are saying, well, they've heard that he went to school using the N-word.
Yeah.
I don't know that he did that.
Yeah, I mean,
but I will say that when I saw the kid talking, I assumed that
he was a
pure,
racist.
He was pure of heart, and that he wouldn't say anything bad like that. Like I assumed that, and I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. But again, I mean, Angel does make a good point. When you grew up in a certain area, maybe that vernacular is kind of accepted because of where you are. I mean, of course, that's a stupid argument. But and like I said earlier, I just can't imagine a 10-year-old, even in my hometown, that's had its challenges.
Dude, you see
when
some
it comes
of the...
to equality, I can't imagine a 10-year-old in my hometown that would not know that the N-word is a word that is absolutely polarizing, regardless of the company you're
in. Check the images of his mom and everything, and then you could easily see how a 10-year-old could be easily influenced.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you read some of the stuff she said, because she's like talking back and forth with people going, aren't us white people supposed to stick together and all this kind of stuff? Here's somebody.
White power.
Yeah, white
God
power.
Bless her.
Here's someone else that was kind of thrust into the spotlight, and I don't know if he handled it very well. That John Wayne Bobbitt.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't really do anything,
That's the worst reason to be famous.
He's got his wiener cut off, but afterwards, man, he
tossed out the window like a cigarette butt.
Oh, man.
And she flicked it into a bush.
And then we all felt sorry for him, and then afterwards, they tore it, and they're like, look the way he lives his life, look who he is.
Apparently, somebody texted in, God, I hope this is real. I'm going to search during the break. That balloon boy... Balloon Boy's dad made his family start a band like the like the Osmonds. And now they're up to a traveling band. I hope that's right.
That's awesome.
We're going to hire him for a monster game.
I'd love it. That'd be a good idea. Hey, listen, we'll do a little trivia, chance to win some stuff, all right? So the telephone number to dial is 1-888-978-104. And also, I got a big announcement today I want to talk to you guys about, and we'll let you know information about tomorrow's Christmas Wish show. A bunch of stuff happening today. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning. Oh, my brother.
Lots of people call. Some even do it without crying. Real Radio 104.1.
It is Christmas time, and there are a lot of dudes in your family you might not know what to get them. Here is a great idea. Matter of fact, I've done it. I got some stuff. Radio. Radio
104.1. All rise. All rise. All rise.
Hey, the Triple R Slinger 7 is brought to you by WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Brad Siebert and his staff can help get you into a brand new home. They're licensed lenders that work kind of all the time. They don't just work bank hours. That's why they're called WeAreNotTheBanks.com. And they can help you get into a new home. I have a lot of friends that have used WeAreNotTheBanks.com. I've used them. They helped my daughter get her first house. A good friend of mine, Maggie, is in her house now thanks to Brad Siebert and WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Dirty Jim's using them right now, and he'll tell you, just like I found out when I started using Brad Siebert, they keep you informed with what's going on with your loan the entire time. You're not sitting around going, God, I wonder what's going on. I wonder what's happening. No, you get an email like almost, you know, twice a day. He'll call you and let you know what's happening. He makes it a great experience. So if you're looking for a home, this is where you want to go first. Call 407-636-9808 for WeAreNotTheBanks.com. If you've got great credit, cool. They'll get you a great interest rate. If you've got poor credit, like a credit score of 580 or less, he can still get you a loan. He can help you out. Finding some mobile homes if you need them to, and ask them about their free appraisal and free home warranty offer. It's simply the best company I've ever worked with when it comes to all of this. It's WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Brad Siebert and his staff. How are things going with your loan? Everything going good?
Guy's a dream.
Yeah.
There's no other way to say it. I mean, the guy is an absolute dream. Puts it in, you know, I'm not a realtor. My wife is, so she understands that language. I do not.
Right.
So he breaks it down for me so I can understand it. It's just been an unbelievable experience. Just literally hand-walked me like a little baby right through this entire scenario. Told me exactly what, hey, just do this.
Yeah.
And then I just did it, and everything was perfect. I mean, I don't know. It's just been...
That's all you gotta do.
It's been an incredible experience, and I will gladly recommend him to all my friends and family.
Hey, let's see what prize we have in the old prize pinata today. By the way, tomorrow is our Christmas Wish show. People wait all year for this sometimes.
Yeah.
Where if you get in on the air and you're able to get your wish out on the air, it's like putting it out into the universe. And maybe someone will listen to it, and maybe someone will grant that wish. We can't guarantee it, but I can tell you we're like 95% of them have come true. So tomorrow, give it a shot. If you can't get through tomorrow or you don't think you're going to have time to call tomorrow, you can go to our website at monsters.fm and put them up there. And there are some of those wishes already being granted as well.
The prize pinata is brought to you by Cento Family Moving and Storage. They are a family-owned and operated company. They offer both residential and commercial moving services for businesses all over the country. Fully trained expert moving crew, adept in packing, furniture handling, safe driving, and excellent customer service. Had an interesting conversation with a friend of mine yesterday who was like, and look, it's Florida cold. It's not really cold.
No, you're right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what I kind of said to him. I was like, look, come on, get it together, all right? But he was like, he had mentioned me. He had wished that maybe he had hired Cento to help him with his move because it has been a bit chilly. And I was like, you're being soft.
Oh, you do, baby.
Yeah. I was like, you're being soft. But
they got sweatshirts, man. Come on.
If you feel so inclined, Cento can help you move cross town, cross country. Go to the website, centomoving.com, CENTOmoving.com. You hit the start quote button, put your information there, let them know you heard about it here on Real Radio 104.1. There's a discount for you. That is centomoving.com. First, we have a pair of tickets to the Auto Nation Cure Bowl at Camping World Stadium on December the 16th. That's this weekend. Multi-platinum recording artist Andy Grammer, he's going to headline a pregame tailgate and concert at Tinker Field. The concert admission is included with your game ticket. Tinker Field opens at 11. You go to the concert at noon, and then you're at a Camping World by 2:30 for the kickoff. More information, visit realradio.fm, keyword cure. Bring in teams together to find a cure for cancer.
That's cool.
We also have the Holiday Movie Bundle. This is awesome. Get into the holiday spirit with the Ultimate Christmas Movie Bundle. You get your food, your snacks together, whatever you want, and then just plot yourself in front of the TV and watch these movies in a row. First, you start off with Christmas Story.
Oh, yeah, that's a goodie.
And then you follow it up with Elf.
That's one of my favorites.
And then you could throw in a little Polar Express.
I've never seen it.
It's pretty good. It's a good animated movie. Yeah. And then you wrap the evening up with National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
And that is a tradition in my house. It's been for years. It doesn't matter who's there. We're watching Christmas Vacation. It's a goodie.
So all of those are available now, digital, Blu-ray, and DVD right now. But if you choose this, you get that nice little prize pack for yourself. We'll wrap it up with a pair of passes to the advanced screening of Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, on December the 18th. Now, the movie doesn't drop until the 20th. This is the pre-screening. Dwayne Johnson, Kevin Hart, and Jack Black is getting incredibly good reviews right now.
It's getting great reviews.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see their take on that classic story.
You know, I just saw Jumanji for the first time last week. I'd never seen it before.
Really? I've never seen it.
Yeah. It's Robin Williams. You can't help but love Robin Williams.
Isn't it the perfect vehicle for him?
It is good. It really is good. Yeah.
And then we got one of these for you, too. A Wassies Meats prize pack, including Wassies 4-pack of rubs, plus a $25 Wassies gift card.
What?
Wassies Meat Market is located right there, 830 North Wickham in Melbourne. They're the largest big green egg dealer in Florida. Everything you need for the holidays for the man in your life, boom, right there. Big green eggs in stock, every size.
Let me tell you something. I will remember 2017 as the year I bought a new house, but as the year I got my big green egg. Yeah. It's right up there with the importance. I swear to goodness, I know it sounds silly, but you know, I love little things like that. And that big green egg.
It's the intangibles.
I've heard about it. You know, Jimmy talked about it. Jim Phillips talked about it. I'm like, that sounds cool, I guess. You know, I mean, whatever. Okay, it sounds cool. Until you get one and you make, you know, like an incredible turkey on it or some, you know what?
Incredible anything.
I love doing things for other people, like being a bartender, giving good drinks or whatever, but like to be able to cook like really good meat like that, because I'm not a cook like Dirty Jim, but I can figure out how to make something really good on the big green egg, and then you give it to people and they're happy. That's fun. And the food is amazing when you get it on the big green egg. So that's one of the things I'll remember 2017 by.
Yeah, that will change the way your man looks at you if you get him one of those for Christmas. And they have all the accessories, by the way, and they have every size in stock.
They also have Yeti coolers, cups and gear, premium cutlery, rubs and marinades. That's Wassie's Meat Market right there in Melbourne. And those are the prizes in today's prize pinata.
And I believe in the Yeti thing, too. I know I'm going to get all the texts from, I got this other one, and it's cheaper, and it's just as good. Well, whatever. I like the Yeti.
Not to mention, those people, the Wassie family, it's a family business.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a family, and they're good people.
And they're smart, too, because they're like, look, Russ, we sell this big green egg as cheap as we can because we want people coming back and buying meat from us for the rest of their lives. We don't want,
and accessories and Yeti stuff and rubs and marinades, all that stuff.
Yeah. So good folks for sure. All right, 407-916-1041. Marie, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How are you doing, Marie?
I'm good.
You're good.
How are you? Good.
Do you live in Leesburg?
You sound scared.
Do you live in Leesburg?
I live in Leesburg.
Yeah. How long have you lived there?
About 4 years.
4 years. Do you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have fond memories of Leesburg. We went out there several times, had a really good time. All right, I have a trivia question for you. And if you get it right, you can take whatever prize you want. If you don't get it, don't worry because you got Dirty Jim or Angel that can help you out if you get stuck or if you give the wrong answer.
Russ, I'll always remember Leesburg as the place where the bass player for Quiet Riot tried to show Savannah his nards.
Was that him?
I think so.
Or was that Vince Neil?
No, it was Kevin DeBrow, remember?
Kevin DeBrow,
But his bass player. It wasn't even him. He was so coked out, he couldn't even see straight.
Oh, that's right. Hey, Leesburg, is that the same place we went to do a show, and they brought out like all these like old classic cars to take us down the street?
Yes.
Yeah. I love Leesburg. It's awesome. Anyway, all right, Marie, here we go. Good luck to you. A guy brought 24 of these to Australia in 1859. 70 years later, there were more than 10 billion. What do you think it was? A guy in 1859 brought only 24 of these to Australia, and 70 years later, there were more than 10 billion.
Koalas.
Yeah, I was going. That's the answer I think I was going for, but no, that is not right. Who do you want to help you? You've got Dirty Jim and you've got Angel.
Dirty Jim.
Dirty Jim, a guy brought 24 of these to Australia in 1859. 70 years later, there were more than 10 billion in Australia. What do you think it is?
God, you would think the obvious answer would be kangaroo. But for some reason, 10 billion kangaroos in Australia?
That sounds like a little crazy,
that's
dude.
A lot. That's like, that's like India numbers.
You're assuming it's an animal.
Yeah, it's got to be something, dude. It's got to be something that can reproduce.
Oh, they're humping.
I know what else they have there, too, is brown snakes. That's like one of the... They're home of the... Easy, buddy.
Home of the brown snake?
Well, Australia, oddly enough, has, like, I believe...
Australia, home of the brown snake.
Of the 20 most deadly snakes in the world, I think Australia has, like, literally 14 of them that are there.
Answer?
Russ, is it kangaroos?
It is not kangaroo. I'm so sorry. No, 407-916-1041. That was the swerve.
Can I tell you something? I hate myself for saying that.
That was the swerve.
I'm taking off. I'll see you guys tomorrow. I'm going to reboot it tomorrow and try to do a better job.
Is that Rhea? Is that the name?
Rhea.
Rhea from Palm Coast. You're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, Rhea?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing great.
All right. A guy brought 24 of these to Australia in 1859. 70 years later, there's more than 10 billion in Australia. What do you think it is?
I'm going to go with a frog of some type.
A frog is incorrect. Angel can help you out. If he can get it, then you'll be a winner here. Hold on, he's on the phone. All right, Angel, she guessed frog.
Hey, was she wrong with frog?
Frog was incorrect.
Ah, damn, I thought that was a good one.
Guy brought 24 of these. There were none on the island when this guy...
Showed up there. Was he part of the initial convicts that got put on that island?
It doesn't say. It just said that he was the first person to bring them to the island, and now there's more than 10 billion.
Okay, Rhea, I'm with you. I'm thinking of animals that reproduce a lot. What animals hump a lot? and they have litters.
Monkeys?
No, do they?
You think there's 10 billion monkeys in Australia?
We'd have a problem.
There'd be a monkey.
We'd have a poop problem. I'm gonna go with something. Because it's here. Cats. Rhea, I'm going cats.
Cats is incorrect. I'm so sorry. 407-916-1041.
Is that a crazy number of cats, Jimmy?
Horrible guess. Horrible musical.
But you are going down the right trail.
Oh!
Tom, you're on Real Radio 104.1.
I know it now.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Go ahead.
Hey, Tom from Sanford. I'm so bad. Why do I...
Let me think. Could it be corny? Something to do with Easter, like rabbits?
Rabbits is a correct. I don't know why I said going down the right trail. I thought of rabbit trail.
I'm glad you said that. I was going to say dingoes.
Oh, dingoes. Oh, no. It's rabbits. Yeah. There were no rabbits in Australia when this guy came in 1859. He brought 24 wild rabbits, and now more than 70 years later, there are 10
billion. And rabbits hump like crazy. Yeah.
And there's a rabbit problem in Australia. I didn't know that. Let me put you on hold, sir. You're a winner.
10 million of them.
10 billion.
Billion
with a B. 10 billion rabbits. They're overrun with rabbits in Australia.
Yeah, that's a lot of rabbit turds.
I had never heard that before, but that's a monster fact, just so you know. You're listening to Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim and Angel, all here today in the month of December, already December 12th,
yep.
Which is, have you done any Christmas shopping or anything like that?
None. Actually, I was about to ask you a question related to Christmas, because I just had to run down to my truck.
Yeah.
XL.
Okay, yeah. There you go. That's his size, Russ, is what he's saying.
I know.
And I wanted to ask a question. We are, you know, because we're in the process of showing our home, we didn't want to decorate it and then have to take all of it down to move or whatever. So
right.
We decided not to do any decorating for Christmas this year at all, which is a little miserable, actually. But hopefully, if we get into our place in time, we'll get a small tree just to make it feel a little bit like the holidays. If not, this is going to be the weirdest Christmas ever.
Right.
To my question. When you leave our building or enter our building, and we have an atrium here, and they decorate, the building management decorates it for the holidays.
Right.
Now, I know this is a personal thing, but I do want to ask. Is purple a color that should be on anyone's Christmas tree? Hmm. That thing is wrapped in a purple garland, and a lot of purple are on the fake gifts and stuff. And can I tell you something? There is nothing less Christmas to me than the color purple.
You know, it's not,
and that's
stereotypically,
not the movie.
It's not stereotypically a color you would use, is it? I haven't noticed it. I'll have to go down and take a look.
Oh, it's the predominant color in that tree is purple. Now, I understand in New Orleans, purple's part of their culture because of the whole thing. But outside of New Orleans... You know, I mean, I don't know, man. I just don't. Purple doesn't make me feel Christmassy, and it's everywhere down there.
Is it purple or is it blue? Because I know blue and white is typically for Hanukkah and for Jewish people. So I wonder if they're combining the two just to make everybody fair. You know?
No, it's purple.
It's purple.
It is purple. Purple. Prince. Purple. It's purple.
I think if you're Prince, it's okay.
I'm not.
I haven't noticed. So yeah.
That's throwing you off.
I didn't say throwing me off. I'm just saying it doesn't. Even though they've decorated and. Of course, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But every decoration they've put up has the color purple in it.
That
and for
weird.
Some reason, when I look at it, I'm like,
it's just rubbing you the wrong way.
It just doesn't, even though it's a Christmas tree, there's no question. It's got the gifts and everything.
Could you be projecting because you're participating in Christmas? And so you're looking at this one and just hating on it for no reason?
And when I say no, maybe.
He's right, though. Purple's not typically a color you think of during Christmas.
I'll step up and speak for the Catholics. Purple's used a lot in the Catholic religion during. Christmas.
Really?
Yeah. Is it really?
For what?
You'll notice that some of the priests, they'll wear like a purple gown. It's for, what is it? When you're lighting the candle. See, this is how horrible a Catholic I am.
When you're lighting the candle.
Guys, what is Advent? Yeah, Advent wreath and part of the Sunday, you're lighting all the candles that go to it.
Oh, like an Advent calendar?
What people are saying Advent over and over on the texting service.
Yeah.
People are checking in and saying our Christmas tree theme is purple and gold.
Oh, purple.
We even have purple lights.
Yeah.
I think during Advent season.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
And purple, if you noticed. Catholic, yeah.
And if you notice, they've hired more Latinos that do that stuff in the building.
Oh, and so the Latinos like the purple.
So that's probably why.
Got it. It's the Latinos again. Okay.
But they're probably Catholic.
And I don't know why. I think it's the same setup we've used every year since we've been here.
I was going to say, I think it was the same thing, dude. I don't know why this year it's rubbing you the wrong way.
I don't either, but I walked out of the elevator just a minute ago and I looked up and was like, that ain't Christmas. That ain't the Christmas I know.
You know, it's
actually red and white,
Jimmy,
and silver.
I got the thing that's going to make your Advent or the Advent, both of you guys.
What?
Someone shared this with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say it on the air.
What?
Because you mentioned the Advent calendar.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a version of the Advent calendar that's been shared with me.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
Oh, what? The hookers or strippers?
No.
Porn stars?
That's what he thinks about you.
Oh, he's saying boobs, Jimmy.
Boobs.
So I'm not really far off.
No, you're not. I take it back.
If you had to do the 12 days of Christmas and pick your 12 favorite porn stars, could you do that, Angel?
Like right now?
Yeah,
I already did it.
Oh, yeah, it's already done.
Is there a porn star? Is there a porn star death pool? I know that's morbid, but
Wow, what a left turn on that, dude! Well, we were talking boobies and purple and nice Christmas. Now you're doing this.
One just passed last week.
Yeah.
August, somebody.
Actually, to remind everybody, if you guys want, go to monsters.fm, click on my blog, and I've put up a sexy Christmas picture.
You were telling me that.
Yes, and some fantastic, amazing work by some beautiful Instagram models.
So it's on our website at monsters.fm. That's monsters.fm.
Yeah, go to my blog. It's right there. Boom.
On Angel's blog. Which,
Garth Lux. Love her.
I got to give it to Angel. All year long, Angel is really good at posting stuff on his blog and doing that. I mean, and he always puts really cool stuff. Really good at that.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, that's going to tie into something I want to talk about
purple
when we come back.
Purple tree rules everything out, unfortunately.
I got a big announcement I want to talk about that everyone's going to be able to check out when we come back. All right, you're listening to The Monsters of the Morning.
At Real Radio 104.1 on Twitter. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. From the... Radio 104.1.
Oh, by the way, within this the thing I'm about to talk about, there's a stupid Russ story involved, which will make Angel laugh, I believe. And they always make Jimmy laugh. But there is a stupid Russ story involved with this whole thing to show my ignorance because there was something that I didn't know. And it's important to the story. What that is now, I've been really good at keeping this a secret for some time now because this is something that we've been working on for a while. And, you know, when we started in radio years ago, you know, there was like one thing. It was like get on the air and try to get attention and hopefully a billboard will drag people to listen to you and you give away stuff and maybe that'll work. And then there was this new thing called a website. And when we decided to get a website, at the time, the radio station was like, ah, it's a waste of time. You know, what do you do? Doing that for? I'm like, no, really, we think a website will be the next big thing. It should be really good. Yeah, whatever. If you want to do it, go ahead. But we don't, you know, we're not paying attention to it. Then, of course, you know, obviously websites are now a part of what we do. You know, 25 years later, it's like a part of everything. And everything morphs and changes and is different. So what we've been doing for some time, those of you that have been listening and you go on our website at monsters.fm or you go to our Facebook page, Carlos has been really good at using the Facebook Live thing and taking his camera or taking his phone and filming him talking sometimes and sometimes us. And then Jimmy does that as well when he does Primetime Kitchen, takes the phone and put it on Facebook Live. But then Facebook decides, you know, they realize that they're going to be able to throttle it back a little bit. You know, first they're going to let you get out to a lot of people, and then they have a way of throttling it back, and you know, not as many people see it as they used to see it.
Right.
And you don't have really a lot of control.
It's not frustrating at all.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. I know. So we've been talking about some stuff for a while, and this was just so you know, this was a major commitment. This is not us throwing together a couple of cameras and willy nilly hoping this is going to work. Like we've hired a professional company to start our own Monsters YouTube channel, and it is up right now. It's up currently, and this is like a four camera shoot. This is not like it looks like a television show, and we hired a company called Three Arrows Creative Group, and they've done stuff for SeaWorld and Anderson Cooper and Nashville Network, and they also have worked with Mark Maron, and they've helped Mark Maron get over 900 million views. This is a professional company that now will be creating our own YouTube channel for us. It is up now. I wasn't allowed to say anything until the day that it was up, and it was hard for me to keep my mouth shut. As you guys know, I'm very bad at keeping a secret. This is going to be cool, man. It's behind the scenes footage. It's going to be daily content. There'll be a live broadcast, the very first live broadcast from our iHeart Monsters Radio YouTube channel will be on the 22nd when we have the live talent show. So you're going to see four camera shoot for that behind the scenes, uncensored. If we're cursing in the breaks, then we're cursing in the breaks. That's just the way that it is. And that is up now. It's not going to cost you anything. We just want you to subscribe to it. Just subscribe to it. And right now, what is up is our interview with Monique, which is really, really good. There's stuff with Hulk Hogan that is up. There's an interview with the astronaut John McBride. And then while I was out, Jimmy interviewed Steve O, and there's two episodes of that, and I haven't even seen that yet.
It's actually a three-parter, so he's got all three parts up.
All three parts
and,
are up.
And the other one was Riggle is in that week, too. Rob Riggle.
Yeah, I don't think he's got that up yet. What he's doing is every day there's going to be something new to keep people interested, to keep a reason to go to YouTube. This was a year commitment, guys. This is going back to, okay, when I started radio, it was like, okay, you got to put a little bit into it to get something out. So I paid, you know, a lot of money at the beginning of this to get this radio show started. This is kind of the same thing. This is us putting our money where our mouth is, doing a really cool, not a cheesy YouTube channel. This is like a professional television show YouTube channel for Monster fans. All we want you to do is subscribe to it and pass it along and get people to subscribe to it. You know, we want to get those numbers as big as possible. Yeah. YouTube is really kind of the way that a lot of people are consuming and watching television now. If you just sit back and watch technology pass you by, then you're going to sit back and watch it pass you by. I do want to thank Angel and Carlos for helping me with this because, you know, I'm 52. I didn't really know much about it, which goes into the stupid Russ story I'll tell quickly. So,
but real quick, before you get there, how do I get to it?
Very good. Okay, you go to YouTube, okay, and you type in iHeart Monsters Radio. Three words, and that's important to the story. And I'm glad you asked. You got to go to, when you go to it, go to iHeart Monsters Radio, three words. Now, I have not been on YouTube that much. I knew this was a hot medium. I knew it was a cool thing. I talked to the guys from Three Arrows Creative Group, and they showed me what they can do. I'm like, wow, that is like a television show. That is freaking awesome. This is really, really great, right? So, and I've already given them the, you know, I've paid the first part of it, and we bought a bunch of equipment, and it's a lot of investment going on here. But I really hadn't looked into YouTube that much. The only things I've seen on YouTube are some Dusty Rhodes videos and some Kiss videos, and other than that, I haven't really checked it out. Right? So yesterday, you know, I've already paid, you know, these guys a lot of money, and they've got a bunch of stuff up and everything. So I call Ryan, I'm like, hey Ryan, I want to go check it out. And he's like, yeah, it's a iHeart Monsters Radio. I'm like, cool, all right, I'm gonna go do it when I get home. I go home, I type it in, iHeart Monsters Radio, all one word, nothing comes up. I'm like, son of a gun told me he'd been putting stuff up. And I call Ryan. I said, Ryan, I just checked, you know, YouTube, and it's not up. And he goes, nah, man, I've been uploading stuff all week. There's some really good segments up. Okay, buddy, it's fine. Hang up again. I go back. I Heart Monsters Radio. I Heart Monsters. And it's all one word, right? And I'm starting to get a little like, okay, now, well, you know, what's going on here? There's nothing up. Here we go. Didn't realize. I call Ryan. Goes, Ryan goes, well, listen, I Heart's one word. Monsters is one word and radio is one word. I'm like, oh my God. And then I remembered last week I ordered all those business cards. You were out, Jimmy, but I ordered like 25,000 business cards that cost me about $400.
For what?
To promote the new channel, the new channel, the website, everything that we have.
Right.
So if someone asks you how to listen to the show or check out the show, you can just hand them a card and it will, you know, and it promotes everything that we have. But the thing on top is the YouTube channel, and I had it all one word. So I have 25,000 of something that's worthless, right? And so I'm like, oh my God, that was 3 days ago. So I called the company that was one of those companies I got off the internet, and I'm like, can you stop printing, please? You know, I signed off on it. It's my fault, but I have the wrong thing on there, and the only reason I'm getting the cards is so people will know how to get to the YouTube channel. And thank God they were just getting ready to print them.
Oh, wow.
Just getting ready to print
nice.
Them, and I was able to save that.
I still would have charged you.
Yeah, I know. But it's three words when you go to YouTube. It's iHeart Monsters Radio. A sample of what you're going to be seeing is up right now. The interview with Steve-O. We got an interview with Hulk Hogan. The Monique interview. And this is the kind of work these guys do. And then on the 22nd, it will be live. So if you want to be able to see the live show on December 22nd, which is our telethon, you want to subscribe now so you can be a part of it, so you can watch the entire thing. And it's going to be uncensored. Like, whatever happens during the break, happens during the break, man. If someone's cursing, they're cursing. If somebody gets in a fight, that's what. So
this is extra content, stuff that you usually might not get a privy to.
This is extra content, and this is something I have. The only other show that I've seen that's done something like this would be Howard Stern has done obviously something like this, and then there's a show called The Breakfast Club up in New York, and they have something really cool like this. And this is just something different, and it adds on to the show itself. You'll be able to see behind the scenes stuff, and it's our new YouTube channel. Once again, you go to iHeart Monsters Radio, three different words, and you'll be able to see some of the stuff that's up right now. But I haven't even seen it.
You guys are maniacs. Yeah. Already about 100.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. I just subscribed. I think I was the 8th subscriber.
Yeah, please. And listen, we don't ask you guys for much. Please do subscribe to it. It doesn't cost you anything. Share it if you can. These guys are going to put a lot of work into it. The more people that have subscribed, the more we're going to want to put crazy stuff on there. And, you know, you hear things happen on the air. You'll be able to see it when you get home. And, Jimmy, and people can watch YouTube now on their television. I know you said you just recently did that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is really, really cool. I watched the interview with Monique, and it's like high definition, high quality, 4-camera shoot. It's like a TV show.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good. I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at the Steve-O interview, and it looks and sounds great as well. So, I mean, yeah, it's real, really cool.
Yeah, and also up there, I've got the wrestling match that I had with Dusty Rhodes is up there. There's the thing that we did with Hulk Hogan is
there's
there.
There's also a match. Is that the one with Mark?
Yeah, Mark Merrow.
Okay.
Yeah, that's up there as well. So we'll put content and stuff up there that you're going to get a kick out of. Hopefully it'll make you laugh. And it's our brand-new YouTube channel. But this is not just us taking a camera and hoping it gets out on Facebook. This is, you know, a YouTube channel. They can't throttle that back. You know, everybody can check it out if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, and it doesn't cost you anything. And it's, you know, four camera shoot. It looks awesome. And these guys have, you know, they've teamed up with Mark Marrow, and they've done incredible stuff, you know, for him, over 900 million views. And everybody that, all the celebrities that come in here, most of them have a YouTube thing or some social media thing. So we'll be able to share with those guys. And this is not just willy-nilly us, you know, getting bored with this after a while with our own phones. This is a company that is producing a monster show that I think you guys will really, really like. So if you go to YouTube, remember, it's three words, iHeart Monsters Radio, and I'll, you know, be promoting it and stuff. And there's sometime, Jimmy, you want to have a primetime kitchen thing up there, we can do that. Angel, if you're doing a show and you want to have them come out and record, like anything that's interesting to the listeners, you know, we want to have on this new YouTube channel. And we're doing it also, so you'll go back to the website, you'll go back to listening to us on the air, and trying to stay up with the times, and the times really are leaning towards a lot of YouTube stuff.
Yeah, because that stupid Facebook thing is really pinching a lot of people, And Facebook needs to realize there are a lot of other outlets.
And that's exactly what spurred this with me is not only listening to you and the issues that you were having with them dialing it back. I had the same issues when I was doing the show with Dr. Butch. It started off, we had, you know, 200,000 people, and then next 3 weeks later, when they saw you're getting a lot, only 1,500.
They want you to buy it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, my little Facebook videos were getting 23 or 25 was the highest we got in views. Which we were pretty proud of, and we knew it was getting penetration into a good audience, and we did like 2 or 3 weeks in a row, and then all of a sudden, the same exact show, the same exact everything, same time, same everything, got like 7.
Yeah.
And then we were like, man, that's weird. So then we noticed we didn't do one for a week because of, you know, just something with our schedule, and then when we came back after taking a week off, it went right back to the big number. So I guess the algorithm either resets or something,
yeah.
And then the same exact thing happened. 17,000 views the next week. 7,
yes.
8, 9.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't represent the penetration we're getting. That's what I don't like.
And that's why we did this with YouTube, because they can't throttle that back. Yeah, you know, if you subscribe, you can see it. And when we do a live show like we're going to do on December 22nd, and we have the live talent show, four-camera shoot, you'll see what's happening in the breaks. It's uncensored. It'll be really, really cool. And it's like a television show. And this is it's exciting for me. It, you know, you when you do something for a long time, it's really neat to have a new challenge. So this new challenge, not only just in radio, but now a new challenge with a YouTube channel and building it and making it bigger than life, is exciting for me for 2018. And I think the listeners are going to love it. You know, if we go on a beer bus, right? We take a beer bus to Lakeland again or whatever. We can take some of these guys.
So absolutely. Get some of that footage. That'll be fun.
They'll come with the cameras. They'll film it, and people can check it out on our YouTube channel. So if you don't know anything about YouTube, like I didn't, you'll become familiar with it right away. But remember, it's three words, iHeart Monsters Radio on YouTube. Just subscribe, and every day you'll be able to see. And we don't, you know, we're not going to make it too much where it's going to bore you. You're going to get about 15 minutes, maybe 8 minutes of really cool stuff every day, stuff that you'll laugh at. And people are asking on the texting service at 77031 if Savannah's videos will be on it. Yes, we're going to share stuff with Savannah, because she's got her YouTube thing that she started. Now she's doing it with her camera, and she's working her butt off. And every day her and I talk, she's like, man, this is a lot of work. I'm like, well, that's why I'm paying the guys from Three Arrows Creative Group to do it, because I don't want to get tied down with it or bored with it. You know, for 1 year, we're going to have a great YouTube channel, and we'll see after that if it's going to be worth sticking around. But I have a feeling it will be. I think this is going to change the game. I honestly think this is going to help the entire radio station. I don't know if they see that or not, but I do. I think this is a new way for people to check out what you're doing and to stay interested in what's happening and to see.
Again, it's nowadays just multiple different streams of way people consume content.
Yes.
This is adding to that portfolio of streams or different ways to take the content that we do here, you know, and it's incredibly helpful. Yeah,
it's a new way people are consuming it,
and a new dynamic.
And when I talked to management about it, it was kind of the same thing that I got when I talked about a website. They're like, oh yeah, YouTube channel, okay, whatever, go ahead, I don't care. like they didn't think it was a big deal. When they see this and they see professional four camera shoot, it's like a television show, it's badass, people want to watch it, and we get know, 100,000 subscriptions, I think they'll go, wow, this is pretty cool. Now, okay, what do you watch on YouTube, Angel? Do you have something that you watch?
Actually, yeah. For me, my let me see the my history of what I've just recently watched on YouTube. So the Grand Tour, the show, I watched a lot of that. A lot of car stuff is what I really I like. Jimmy, I just sent him a video of a Rimac One concept car race,
Blowing the doors off, and I mean by 10 links, Lamborghini Aventador.
Let's see, music videos, shows. I watch hot. Well, there's a couple shows that I do watch. There's this one called Hot Ones. I watch. I watch a lot of that stuff like that. Man, it's all over the place.
People on the texting service at 77031 are saying, "Spell it. I can't find it." Now, don't feel bad. I couldn't find it yesterday myself.
I'm shooting those people a link.
Yeah, you have to spell it's iHeart one word, Monsters Radio, and it's on YouTube, and it's our own channel. It's these guys have done an awesome job. It's only going to get better. And when we have big celebrities in here, when we have stuff in here that we think you're going to want to see, they're going to catch it. They're going to put it on the YouTube channel, and you'll be able to check it out at home when you want to. And there'll be some live stuff as well. When we do something special out or whatever, we're gonna grab it and put it up for you guys. And I just think it's a new addition to what we've been doing on the radio for years, but this is a professional jab at it, you know. And I didn't like the way, you know, you put something on Facebook and then they throttle it back and only 7 people can see it. That sucks. You know, you go to all that work and you got something really cool, and we want everyone to be able to check it out. So that was a big announcement, and I kept my mouth shut for about 6 months. How was that?
Not bad.
It's actually pretty good, man.
It was hard.
This is going to be way weird for me to choose watching myself interview somebody against watching System of a Down's cover of Berlin's song The Metro, which is what I did yesterday the other day. I like finding old 80s songs and then seeing bands that have covered them. That's awesome.
So you've been watching.
And by the way, you should listen to that. That's an amazing cover, Angel. You'd love it.
You've been watching YouTube for some time then, right? But just on your computer, not at home on your TV.
As content on the show, I've been talking about the YouTube wormhole now for 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, you know, starting at one place, and the next thing you know, you're watching live Judas Priest from 77, you know, or you're watching, like I said, an Angel. You're looking at guys getting 1,100 horsepower out of a 4-cylinder engine. And then watching that guy race a jet semi-tractor. I mean, it's just crazy stuff. You know, everything from human fails to, like, that crazy stuff you see on YouTube of dudes, like, parkouring or throwing frisbees across canyons into waste baskets. I mean, it's all that crazy stuff.
People right now are texting and said they're watching this Steve-O interview right now. It says he looks great. I haven't seen that yet. It just came up this morning, and I was out of town, so I'm curious to go home and watch it. But there are other interviews. The interview with Monique is really, really great. You can check that out, too. And then we just talked to John McBride the other day, the astronaut. So all the kind of cool stuff that we kind of grab and catch, we're going to put it on the brand new YouTube channel, and it's iHeart Monsters Radio. 3 words. If you can't find it, you know, let us know. We'll make sure you get hold of it, and we just want you to subscribe to it. It's not asking you for any money. We hope you enjoy it. You know, we're putting our money where our mouth is and doing something different. And I haven't seen a radio show other than The Breakfast Club and Howard Stern do anything that's this cool with 4 camera shoots, and it looks like a TV show. And I'm hoping it's going to change the game. I think it's really cool. And you know, if you guys have any ideas of what you want to see or what you would like us to put on, you just let us know, and we'll.
They've already sent that.
Them?
Yeah, they want to see boobs.
Boobs. Okay, well, boobs are good. Everybody likes boobs. That's fine. No, but check out, it's on YouTube, and it's iHeart Monsters Radio. And we'll take some of your phone calls. If you got questions about it, let us know. And I would like to find out what you watch on YouTube, because I get stuck it only sends me 2 things, just Kiss and wrestling. And I'm like, well, I gotta try to find some other stuff.
For example, BBC Radio 1 is one of my favorite channels. Car Throttle, Taryn Tactical. Taryn is this badass gun instructor. She's the one that taught Keanu Reeves how to do the 3-gun shoot.
Oh, that's cool.
Petrolicious. Petrolicious is, again, awesome dynamic car channel.
Hey, now, cool stuff like that, can we share that on
Absolutely.
Our YouTube channel?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we go to our YouTube channel, and you can check that stuff out.
Absolutely.
Okay, very cool. Once again, iHeart Monsters Radio, 3 words, brand new channel. It's up right now, so go subscribe if you can. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning.
Slick doing the best we can, given our pre-existing condition.
It's a step above just jamming a clothes hanger in my ear.
Yeah.
Real Radio 104.1. From
Monsters Mornings on Rare Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim and Angel, all here today. We just announced our brand new Monster YouTube channel. If people are saying, how do you get to it? When you go to YouTube, you type in iHeart Monsters Radio. It's three words, and it'll come right up. You'll see the interview that the guys did with Steve-O. It's getting a lot of action. A lot of people are checking that out. There's a bunch of other interviews on it. And if you want to be able to see the live broadcast, now the Monster Telethon is really a telethon because you can actually watch it on television, okay? It'll be December the 22nd. It's the Monster Talent Telethon, and there'll be all kinds of, different acts and all kinds of stuff to raise money for the Coalition for the Homeless. You'll be able to watch it all live, uncensored, on our new YouTube channel when you go to that and subscribe. And also, too, it's going to direct you back to the Monster website and everything that we've, we've got a Twitter. Our Twitter now is iHeart Monsters Radio. We've got our Facebook is iHeart Monsters Radio. So everything's going to kind of be the same thing. So you can check it out at our YouTube channel. So 407-916-1041 or toll free. It's 1-888-978-1041. So okay, Jimmy, do you watch like cooking stuff and stuff like that on YouTube? Is that
No, not really. I don't really do any cooking stuff. I don't know why. I just don't. I've been consuming cooking information via books for 20 years of my life. So seeing a channel, I do watch the Food Network occasionally, but I don't really search out food stuff on YouTube.
Because I saw, and I know this ties into a national story. I saw these guys, and they were cooks on YouTube. And they have like 3 million people that watch them on YouTube. And there's something about the way that, something to do with, like, if you go and, okay, they were making a pizza. And if you go to order pizza, it directs you to Domino's, not to a local pizza place. It was like sharing information.
Yeah. I don't know. I know there's a cooking channel here locally run by two really young people who are at the softball game with us that we had, or the Johnny Magic down at XL threw to raise money for Puerto Rico, which we were happy to be involved with. And I met them there. And actually, I was trying to get a hold of them to be on primetime. Our schedules aren't working out until 2018, but when they do come on, and they have a YouTube channel that has over 1 million subscribers.
Isn't that crazy?
And to be honest with you, they don't really do fancy cooking stuff. They do kind of, I don't want to say silly because I don't want to discount it, but like they make the biggest Kit Kat.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they'll take, they'll deconstruct stuff to show you how to make it. And, it's kind of a fun cooking thing. And they don't take it too serious. All the videos are relatively short, attention span type thing.
Right.
And they've been very, very successful at it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I pay close attention to what they do.
Well, and that's what, I just got a message from the guys from Three Arrows Creative Group, and they said, oh my God, people are subscribing crazy. Like it's gone up 600-700 people already. So if you get a chance, go subscribe. We'd love for you to do that. And we'll try to bring you really great content. I mean, we have stuff happening here all the day all the time that you don't get to see because we don't always have our video cameras up for the Facebook Live thing. And really, we kind of got turned off by it because they throttle it back and you don't know who can see it and who can't see it. This way, with their own YouTube channel, everybody can see it. You're not at the whim of them deciding, well, you guys, we're not going to put it out this time.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, again, I don't like being at their beck and call.
Yeah, a lot of people are. Thank you for texting us at 77031, and a lot of people are checking that out, and I appreciate it. It's I've been really nervous about it. I'm not nervous, thinking about it for the past 6 months, and it's hard for me not to say something. I've been teasing and saying, okay, something cool is happening at the beginning of the year, and I'll stop myself from blowing it because the guys from Three Arrows said, look, until we get it all up, you can't say anything because then people might go, look, it's not there, and then they won't go back again. So that's why I kind of had to keep my mouth shut.
Well, you did a good job.
It's hard for me.
Yeah, I know.
It's hard for me to do that. Oh, you know what I did yesterday? I went and got the new iPhone.
Oh, you did? Got your 10?
I got the 10, and I
got
to tell you,
I thought you got it the day before, but you just had a problem with it or something.
No, that was Carlos got his.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
And man, I will tell you that I don't get creeped out. I'm not creeped out. It's just weird, this whole thing with the new iPhone, the iPhone 10, is it can recognize your face. So you put the camera on you, and you've got to move your head around and everything, and it gets every angle of your head. And now, like, if I look at my phone, it'll come on, but if someone else looks at it, it won't.
Right.
And that, just think about that. So if you want to put that technology on a bullet or on a bomb,
yeah.
Or on a robot that's a killing robot, it recognizes your face. It can go right for you.
I want to put it on my fridge so when my kids come over, they can't get in.
Yeah.
Those bastards.
I mean, how did they figure out how to make a phone recognize your face? I mean,
it does that. So you ever seen the guys? This is a shot, by the way.
Yeah.
This is just a shot in the dark. I'm going to go out on this. So the technology that they've used to rebuild or restructure faces from skulls,
right,
in cold cases. You know, forensic file type stuff, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen them do that? They do it?
Yeah, I've seen it on like a TV show, but not.
So it's a compilation of information over many, many years, and they have figured out that certain bone structure usually means, especially based with where you're from, what part of the world, what race you are, right? So all that matters, right? Even your genetic and your past, they can actually get very, very close to recreating just from your skull what your actual face looks like. The space between your eyes, the length of your nose, how your cheekbones are, and they get remarkably close. I bet it's got to be similar to that.
Yeah.
You know, I bet it's just similar to that. It's just an algorithm where they can kind of figure out the spaces and the height of your skin based on how big you are.
But just think about, you know, go back to the very first cellular phone you had that was like a big brick, you know, we could barely hear when you're talking, and now I've got this little thing and it looks at me and it knows who I am. That's just...
And you're fascinated or creeped out by this technology, but look, for the last few years, there's been different social medias that do the facial recognition because they do all the different filters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So your face, if you've anybody who's listening, who's ever done one of those filters on Snapchat, on Instagram, you're the diagram, your face is in somebody's database right now.
Yep.
Whether it's for good intentions or bad, or it's the government, they have your face. If you've been to certain sporting events where they've done the facial recognition,
they got your face.
There's gonna be a time, it's very much like we've seen it in movies, where you're gonna be walking down the street somewhere or be in downtown Orlando, and there's gonna be advertising because of your face and because of what you've done online that is gonna be geared straight to you, and you're the only person that's gonna see it.
Look, I'm gonna tell you straight up right now, if there was a filter, I've never used a filter on my face, my God, I can't imagine. I've never used a filter on my face. I look at people on Facebook that use those filters, and I just laugh out loud, it's so gross.
Let me tell you where the...
How fake it is.
Let me tell you where the face recognition does not work. So, you know, I was fascinated with all day yesterday. I got my phone. It was pretty easy to figure out, actually. It wasn't that big of a transition going from the other, you know, the other Apple phone to this one. It was fine. But then in the middle of the night, and anytime I look at it, it comes right on. I'm fascinated by that. I can't believe it knows my face. In the middle of the night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and I've got my CPAP in. And I look at it and it's like, it didn't recognize me with the CPAP.
Don't know you, Darth.
But
that filter thing, if I could get a filter on Snapchat or Instagram that I could just click on that says take away drinking a bottle of Jaeger every week for 10 years, I want that filter. That's the one.
Dude, wait till it takes immediately
30 years off my life.
I don't know if you've seen the second preview for Ready Player One. Wait till you see that movie and what they're talking about in that movie, in the sense of the Oasis, where everybody lives in this virtual world where you have your own figure in this virtual world that represents you. That's in this movie that's getting ready to come out in Ready Player One.
Right.
We already have kind of those things now, but this is that blown out to the 10th.
Check this. This is a true story. I'll just tell you that. So, selling a house, moving into a town home because just don't have any kids anymore, downsizing, you know, just want to be part of a cool community, right?
Right, right.
So we've shown the house over and over and over and over a bunch. God almighty, it's crazy. So my house is set up where I have a main house, and then separate from that is a 400-square-foot, what used to be a garage, but it's been professionally closed in. It's got its own air conditioning unit, the whole nine yards. Do you know, this is a true story, by the way, guys, do you know that two for sure that my wife heard over talking, want to use that 400 square foot room specifically for a virtual reality room.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
I did. They said this would be a great VR studio. My wife had to ask me what VR was. She heard two separate couples use the word VR studio, and my wife is like, "Jimmy, what is VR?" They go, "It's virtual reality."
Were those couples attractive?
And she said, "I didn't. You know, honestly, I didn't meet them."
No, because I'm saying because there's a whole new industry of virtual reality porn.
Yeah.
Is it really?
No, dude. It's.
I did not see.
I hear it's pretty neat.
Yeah, but. That was suspect. What he just said was suspect.
I hear it's pretty neat.
But, you know, and Tori was like, "What's VR, Jimmy?" And I was like, "It's virtual reality. Why?" She goes, "Well, two of the people who've looked at the house and looked at the outside room where I have my my studio set up for a recording, you know, podcast, whatever." And she said, "Yeah, they've talked about using that as a VR studio." And I was like, "Wow, that's insane. I had no idea. I look at VR as the glasses you put on. That made the Facebook trip about a year ago.
Yeah, but that's part of it. But then the other part of it is the people that are, again, that's a whole new stream. They're looking for content, and people are making content for that kind of stuff. Think about it this way. We're not that far off, and I'm sure there's already some millionaires and some tech guys that have their houses like this. Imagine you walking up to your house, and there's a monitor there, and it recognizes, you know, facial recognition. Hey, Russ, welcome home.
Sure.
How's it going?
Yeah.
And then your house is like now a living, breathing robot.
I mean, I'm sure it could do that now because I've got, what's her name, Alexa.
So Alexa, blown out to the 10th and where it's recognizing you now.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
whether it's because of a fingerprint or your facial recognition.
I know that VR thing is a big deal. We were just at when we were in Seattle,
yeah.
right? We went to Seattle a few months ago to see my daughter. And we went to that museum, that crazy, it's not a rock museum, but it's something downtown Seattle. I forget what it is. Arts and sciences or whatever. But a lot of it was dedicated to music and pop culture. But they were having like a symposium in the lobby of this thing, which is massive, of course.
Right.
And we're walking around. The longest line, and we're talking about kids who have engineered like dogs that walk on their own, like, you know, robot dogs and all this stuff. But the longest line was the VR line. People wanted to see the VR glasses. They had different setups, and you could walk through a video game or whatever. And watching people react to it, I got up to like the sixth place, but they were allowing everybody like 5 minutes. I'm like, I'm not waiting here anymore for this.
And I'm constantly amazed at things like that, like Jimmy's talking about. Like yesterday, I talked about the frisbee golf or YouTube. Like the millions of people that are into YouTube, I had no idea. Millions of people, I don't know about millions, but thousands of people that play frisbee golf, I had no idea. And just like that with virtual reality, it's funny all these different little subcultures of things that you're not aware of. And and the more I looked into the YouTube thing, it's like, man, a lot of people, that's all they watch on TV is YouTube.
Well, I mean, again, going back to how you search and online, when you go to your Facebook page, it's uncanny how often you see ads pop up for stuff you've recently searched on Google or Instagram or even just whatever the case may be, that you'll see, oh, you're interested in a new driver, are you? And it's only 50 of them down there with the best deals that links to the stores where you can buy it right there online. My wife has it happen to her.
Yeah, it happens to me all the time. I'll be talking about something, next thing you know, it pops up me to buy it.
Somebody on the texting service, by the way, if you'd like to text the show, we'd love it. 77031, just save that as Real Radio and text all the shows, said that, you know, you remember the movie Minority Report?
Yes.
With Tom Cruise, where the guys, you know, people are walking through the malls and like certain stores will be like, "Hi, Tori, I hear you're in the market for a purse."
Yeah.
You
that's going to happen, dude. That's going to happen.
The store is talking to you, selling itself.
Yeah. That's not too far away. By the way, we did announce today is our brand new YouTube channel. It's on YouTube. It's iHeart Monsters Radio. That's how you search it. Three words, iHeart Monsters Radio. Please go on and subscribe to it and share it to those, you know, to folks. You'll see some really cool stuff up there now. And if you want to see the live show on December the 22nd, it's going to be, you know, uncensored and it's going to be free. But you want to subscribe now so you're able to check it out. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. I just sent him a message, Jimmy, to ask about that, because if you go to the iHeart Monsters Radio YouTube channel, it says Monsters with HH. That's Hulk Hogan. It probably should say Hulk Hogan. That way everybody knows to go check it out.
Yeah, yeah, so. Nobody knows what that is if not.
This is a learning curve. This is the very first day of our new YouTube channel, but we'll be learning as we're going by here. But if you can subscribe to it right away, it'd be cool because next week you'll be able to see our live show right here. We're going to be in the performance studio, and we're asking you if you've got any talent and you want to show that talent off, it will be on our new YouTube channel. It's going to be live, and it's uncensored, so whatever happens during the breaks happens during the breaks, man. You'll be able to see it all. 4-8 camera shoot, professional, thanks to Three Arrows Creative Group, who's doing this for us for the next year at least. And I'm really excited about this new part of the show to bring you guys kind of get to see what's going on. Once you go to YouTube, just type in three words, I Heart Monsters Radio, and you'll be able to check it out. And please share it too. Subscribe and share. That way we get those numbers up there so it's impressive enough that that we're able to get more people that want to participate, and you'll see cooler things. You know, like celebrities will want to be a part of it if you've got more people that are watching. So it's pretty cool. So coming up, you know, the next couple of weeks, obviously we have the holidays, we have Christmas, and we always kind of forget about talking about New Year's Eve because it's, you know, a couple of weeks away and it's not in our thought process. But where do you think they say? This is a travel website that did this study, and they came up with a list of the top 10 places, best places to go for New Year's Eve. Where do you think came in number one for the best place to visit for New Year's Eve?
I would say New York City.
It is New York City for sure. Yeah, that's number one. Now, I've never wanted to be a part of that because it looks miserable. It looks like it's freezing. There's too many people.
Code Black went to New Orleans for New Year's about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And said it was one of the most miserable experiences ever. He would never in a million years do it again. There was literally so many people that the pressure from the people on all sides of you would allow you to pick your feet up and not fall.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's how many people were there and how crazy crowded it was.
Now, New Orleans did not come in the top 10 of places to visit.
And that's why, Russ. It stinks like pee, there are a lot of douchebags. Oh, and by the way, you can get killed.
You want to take a guess at another place that came in the top 10? You got New York City.
Is this globally or just in America?
Just in America.
Vegas.
Las Vegas came in number 10.
Wow, really? I would think that would be a massive hotspot for New Year's.
Just because I know that, for example, some types of music I like, the electronic stuff, they do. I mean, they blow it out for those shows there at some of those super max clubs. You know?
I wonder, Angel, if this is one of those things where it is a specific party has been so synonymous with a city that we don't really know about. New York, we know because of the dropping
Times
of the ball,
Square, yeah.
Times Square, the whole nine yards. That's kind of a given. But now that Vegas came in 10.
I'm curious now, yeah.
That leads me to believe that maybe there's a city out there, too. How about this? San Francisco.
San Francisco is number 5.
Huh.
Yeah, that's as far as the best places to spend New Year's
Eve. Does it say, where they hold their celebration, or just the fact of being in the city?
I guess just being in the city.
I think just maybe a vibe of that, dude.
I'm down.
So do you have to go L.A. then?
L.A. is number 4.
Damn, see, I would not think L.A. would be a good New Year's city for some reason.
I don't know where I would go.
The Staples Center.
Who knows? Because downtown's an asshole, by the way. People don't know.
No, they've actually really worked on that.
Have they really?
They really.
Well, last time I was there, it was a mess.
There's still incredibly amounts of homeless people in Los Angeles and in L.A., but they have worked on that, and particularly the Staples Center area.
Now, number 3 on the list, these are the best places to spend New Year's Eve, is...
I say Atlanta, Georgia.
It is Atlanta, Georgia. Yes. Very good.
Go to Atlanta in a second.
Okay, where would you spend New Year's Eve in Atlanta?
Buckhead.
Buckhead.
Just go down there and get loose.
I find a party. Yeah.
Right.
Now I'm gonna.
Or if there's a show at the Tabernacle,
I'll be visiting Savannah, Georgia, and it's not in the top 10. Right. And I don't know where we're gonna. But I know
5 points. I'll go to Little 5 Points.
In Savannah?
No,
in Atlanta.
Atlanta. Yeah. In Savannah, I know that there's a big river there, and there's got to be some places for...
Savannah's a party city. I mean, not like a crazy frat boy party city. It's an adult party city, but still, I mean, good wine, good food, good drinks and whatnot, and it's a classy kind of city, you know?
Yeah.
I know Jim Phillips is a big fan of Savannah. He loves it up there.
I'm looking forward to it. We're gonna drive to Savannah, then we're going to drive up to Charleston, South Carolina, to go visit, you know, like historical stuff or whatever, then come back. We have a whole week there, so I'm looking forward to it. But anyway, what do you think came in second place for the best place to visit for New Year's Eve.
I'm gonna
be surprised.
Speaking for the texters, because they're all being homers right now. Oh, Orlando, yeah.
It is Orlando, yeah, Florida.
That's crazy.
Came in second place.
Is it because of Disney?
I don't.
Or the parks?
It just said it.
Do the parks have big celebrations on New Year's?
I'm going to guess yes. I have never. Typically, when I do New Year's Eve in Orlando, I'm in downtown.
Now this is
and it gets crazy.
30 plus years, I've never known. The parks, and I say the parks, Disney Universal. I mean, no disrespect to the others, but Disney Universal, right? That's the game.
Right.
I've never known them to have or be known for gigantic New Year celebrations.
Well, me neither. And this is Wallet Hub. Now, is that a reputable website or whatever?
Who knows?
They said in second place is Orlando, Florida. It's a great place to spend New Year's Eve. Downtown Orlando is the place to be.
This is going to be a complete sidebar, real quick, Jimmy. afford me this, and this is why this particular website drives the listeners crazy, because this is the same website, Russ, that said Orlando was the number one
dangerous,
and then not evil, but what was it, sinister or something like that?
Well, it was dangerous. Yeah,
we
were the most sinful city.
They got a hard on for us. Yeah.
Yeah, and now they're gonna put us as the number two city for that. That's what I'm saying. I don't understand what they use to get this stuff together.
Dude, you want a party full of sin? Are you kidding? It makes sense.
That's a good point.
Right?
You don't make any sense.
Yeah. Okay, I live in Orlando.
Yeah.
Where do you go sin in Orlando?
Not a whole lot of places.
Yeah. Where do you go sinning in Orange County?
Triple L Bar, that's about it.
My back.
I'm just saying.
There's some swingers clubs I can show you too.
Yeah. You shouldn't say something like that out loud.
In sixth place, there's San Diego. In seventh place is Chicago.
How about this one?
Oh, Chicago would be nice.
I can't imagine that Denver would not be on that list.
Denver, Colorado, not in the top 10.
I did New Year's in Denver last year. It was awesome.
Yeah, dude, I can imagine.
I had a blast.
A great show at the Red Rocks with them clouds, you know?
Number mm-hmm. 8 on the list is Miami, Florida, then Washington, D.C., then Las Vegas. So that's your top 10 of the best place to spend New Year's Eve. You're listening to Real Radio 104.1.
At Real Radio 104.1, if you want to follow us on Twitter, we might follow you back. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1920. Six member FDIC from
Radio. A lot of people asking about the new YouTube channel. Yes, it's up today. It's the launch of it today for the first time. You can go to it's the Monsters YouTube channel. Just type, when you go to YouTube, you type in three words: iHeart Monsters Radio. When you put iHeart Monsters, it might just pop up right away, but we made it iHeart Monsters Radio because the idea is to remind you that we are on the radio and you can get us on iHeart Radio. And if you direct us to, if you're on iHeart Radio, we want to remind you we're a radio show and you can get us on iHeart Radio. But we have a YouTube channel now that is professionally shot thanks to Three Arrows Creative Group. It's a four camera shoot, high definition. A lot of our celebrity interviews you're going to be able to see in 2018. We have a couple of them up now, but it's going to be a lot more detailed, a lot more cool stuff. So subscribe to it today, please. And on next Friday, when we do our telethon to help the Coalition for the Homeless, you'll be able to see it live. Four camera shoot, all the different acts, all the different talent, all the different things you'll be able to see live. And also in the breaks, it's going to be, uncensored because it's live. So that's next week. If you want to see that, you want to subscribe and tell your friends to subscribe and pass the word along. We really would appreciate that. It launched today, and I was able to keep my mouth shut for at least 6 months, which is I'm growing. I'm growing a little bit, which is nice. Last night I went and did something, Jimmy, I haven't done in forever. And how often do you eat sushi?
Wow. As often as I can, but it's been a little bit. Matter of fact, there was a sushi place on the boat, but Code Black and his wife don't eat it, so we didn't go there. I try to, like, once every 2 weeks.
God, I have not had sushi in almost over a year.
Whoa, I couldn't do that.
I do it weekly.
And the reason,
no joke, I would.
The reason
I have
is,
a place right close to me that's really cool.
You do?
Yeah.
The reason is because it has white rice, and in my mind.
No, you could do brown rice.
Oh, I didn't know that.
A lot of places now that they've, you can ask them to do, you can ask them to do the roll with less rice, and a lot of places now are offering brown rice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was able, and where I live, I can just walk over to this place where, they got sushi, but I hadn't done it in a long time, and I'm at my weight where I think I'm going to probably be able to stick and stay. Like 235, I think, is where I'm going to be living for, I wanted to be down to 220. That may be
is
in
that
January.
Unrealistic?
220? I don't know.
To maintain?
I don't know. Maybe, probably for me. Like, it seems like I'm maintaining 235 pretty well. And I'm like, screw it. I want some sushi. Haven't had it in a long time. So walked over to get some sushi. And the lady told me something. And I want to know if you think this is for real or you think that she was pulling my leg.
This is the lady at a sushi restaurant said this.
Yes. She was Asian.
Okay.
I don't know. maybe Chinese, Japanese. I don't know. She was Asian, okay? Nice lady and everything. But so we ordered sake. Do you get sake when you have sushi?
I'm not a sake fan.
No?
I'm not.
Not hot sake, huh?
I'm not. Any kind of sake, I'm not a fan.
You know, it's alcohol, so I like it all. so I'm like, yeah, you're in a sushi place. You got to get some sake, right? So I ordered sake, and I started to pour it, and she runs over and says, no. She's it bad luck. You must pour her. She must pour you. And I'm like, what? And she said, and basically what she was saying was, that was my really bad,
That was horrible.
It was terrible.
That was offensive.
But she said, that wasn't offensive.
I'm saying it was offensive for how bad it was.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Very, very bad.
She told us that if you're having sake, there's two of you, it's bad luck if you pour sake for yourself. You're supposed to pour it for her, and then she's supposed to pour it for you. And if you mix that up, she said 7 years of bad luck. Have you ever heard that before?
Nope. I've never heard that.
Because she was gaming you.
Yeah, I'm not a sake guy, so I'm not sure of the protocol of the sake...
sake rules?
Yeah, sake rules or
sake
lore.
Rule consumption.
Yeah, so I've never heard that.
Angel, you ever heard the sake rules?
Never. So, and I've taken dates to sake, or up to sushi bars. I've eaten at plenty of sushi bars around, like in Chicago and New York. I've been to many of them. This is the first time I ever heard anything remotely like that. I think she was trying to take advantage of it.
Checking service checking immediately and says, everybody knows you don't pour your own sake.
Oh, you
well,
don't?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Well, that's what she corrected me.
I want to know this person's credentials.
Look.
Who are you?
This woman was adamant about it. She said, no, bad luck. You don't pour her, she don't pour you. And I'm like, uh-huh. And she explained that it's 7 years of bad luck if you know, because I started to pour hers first and then I was going to pour mine. And she's like, no, it's got to be, she has to pour for you. You have to pour for her. And if you don't, you've got bad luck. I guess it's an old, I don't know where it
comes
from.
That's what they're
from.
Saying. It's from Japan.
It's a Japanese thing.
Yep. We're getting more confirmation. Well, then I've been going to the right places,
well,
people.
We have
quit yelling at me.
You learn something new every day then, huh? Do you let them, do you ask them which do they think is the best roll, or do you have certain sushi rolls that you always get?
There's certain go-to ones that I will always get at every place, but then I will ask them because certain places are known for a different, for either something different that they do, right?
100%. Yeah, and the one we get, we have a place we order from that delivers, which is awesome, and we get the same one of the same ones all the time. Because we split it. We know we like that one, and then we'll get an adventurous roll. We'll try something kind of off the map, and then I. Man, I haven't hit one yet that I don't like. I mean, I will eat damn near any one of them. I just love it.
Question. Okay, if there's two of you, what's the acceptable amount of rolls to order? Because
for two of you?
Yeah, there's two of us.
One each? And then maybe a bowl of edamame or something?
Look at his face.
Yeah.
He instantly did not like that answer.
I got four, man. Because I can't decide. I can't decide. All four look good.
Yeah, but that's four rolls between two people, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, and depending on how they cut them, six or eight pieces, right?
Yeah.
That's still a lot.
Man, it was good, though.
Oh, my God.
I forgot how much I love sushi.
One of my favorite things in the world.
And I remember there was a time when I was, closed-minded and everything, I remember going, I'm not going to eat raw fish. That's ridiculous. That's stupid. Until I tried it, and then I'm like, oh, my God. That is
delicious.
Oh, yeah.
Guy here on the texting service, 77031. Just save that number as Real Radio on your phone. That way you can text all the shows. We love it. Thanks, David Mostoyota. We appreciate it. I lived in Japan. When drinking sake in a group, the youngest at the table is supposed to pour for everyone except themselves. Then the oldest at the table pours for the youngest.
Oh, dang, there's rules there.
But what if you just want to get
superstitions in Japan? They will just get on you.
What if you just want to get blind hammered? By the way, sake drunk is zombie stumbling drunk.
Oh, it'll do it.
I've
yeah.
been there.
Yeah.
In public.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Not pretty. Not a good look.
And something about it being hot, it's like, ooh, this is special. No other liquor is hot, really.
A hot toddy?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, you know, on the holidays, I guess. Yeah, but for the most part, you know, anytime you get sake. Now, I know they have cold sake, and that's Bill Murphy used to love that.
That's just as delicious.
I don't like that as much. Oh. Something about it being in that little container. No, you can get
the container.
Hot.
You could get it cold in the container, too, and you're just like, yeah.
Hey, now, Jimmy, with Primetime Kitchen and you loving cooking and everything, have you ever thought about taking a roll class, sushi making class, learn how to roll them?
Oddly enough, I do have a sushi making kit that we have yet to use.
Oh, really?
Just, again, time. Tonight I'm making chili for How Tuesday. It's hard to make, you know, and with all this weather in Florida, we get one opportunity to do something that is a, you know, kind of a cold weather dish.
Yeah.
So I can't make it tonight, but I actually want to try it. We get settled into our new place. We'll probably kind of venture into that. Because you just, first thing you have to learn is how to make great rice.
Yeah.
I mean, before everything else, you have to learn how to make rice.
Sticky, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, there's a whole thing to making the rice correct, you know? You got to wash the hell out of it. Then you have to steam it. Then it sits. Then you, I mean, it's a whole thing just to get the rice correct. I believe that's where good sushi begins, is the rice has to be perfect for it to be perfect.
407-916-1041 or toll free. It's 1-888-978-1041. Well, we learned something new today. So I guess that woman was not pulling my leg. You got to pour sake for the other person, and they pour it for you if you want good luck.
They said only bad sake is served hot. Good sake is served cold.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
That's that one, dude. What are your credentials, sir?
77031. You can text. Yeah, we always take whatever the texters say as gospel. Like, yeah. they actually know for some reason.
I need y'all to start backing up your ridiculous texts.
Yeah, no, hold on real quick.
I understand this. Links don't work in our texts, so don't send me any links.
But I found it. So this is a website called Urban Sake, and it has all the rules and regulations of how and what's supposed to happen.
Jimmy, before you go any further, apparently we've all been saying it wrong.
Oh, you say it differently?
Yeah, apparently. Apparently,
sake.
Sake.
Whatever.
Sake.
Sake my ass.
Karate.
Sake can be served both gently warmed or chilled. It really depends on the type. If you have an elegant, I don't even know what that word is, warming could erase subtle aromas and complexities. A hard, oh man, there's just so much stuff here.
So many difficult, hard words.
Yeah. How should I store it? Is it only made in Japan? How many calories, Russ? Here's something interesting.
That's what I was afraid of. I'm sure I had four rolls less. Well, I didn't have all four. I mean, I ate 3.5. And I'm sure I packed on some calories.
Wow, dude. How many calories do you think are in 1 5-ounce serving of sake?
I thought you meant for the sushi itself, for the sake. I wouldn't think much. It's wine. It's like rice wine. So I'm going to say low. It's low in calories.
Yeah. What is low? Give me a number.
So for one little thing of it, I'm thinking 50 calories.
120 calories.
200.
Oh!
200 calories.
Why so much?
Now, they call this I don't know what a go serving is. But a go serving, which is 6 ounces, is 240 calories.
Yummy. Oh,
a bottle, which is 10 ounces of sake, is 400 calories.
Ooh, then I had 800 calories last night. Two bottles.
And they're saying even the vessel you drink it out of has to be certain, or it's not really being consumed properly.
But now, sushi itself, has it got a lot of calories? Probably not, right?
The rice does. I mean, you have to understand, a lot of sushi has the cream cheese in it as well. Oh, I mean, that's going to be not cool.
Do you use the green stuff, the wasabi?
The hotter, the better.
I do, too, yeah. I like to make my nose burn.
Yeah, and sometimes they call that the rooster, right? And then
what? The rooster?
That burning you get in your sinuses is called the rooster. Have you ever heard that?
I never heard that before, no.
Now, I've heard this as well. When you're eating sushi, do you think it's good or considered kind of amateur to mix the wasabi into your soy sauce?
I would think it's good. I see everybody doing it.
That's amateur hour.
That's amateur. Yeah, that's us Americanizing. And the truth of the matter also, that green wasabi, the way that we consume it here, is not the same way that it's consumed in Japan.
And on top of that, the wasabi you see here is usually green-colored horseradish.
Yeah.
Real wasabi from the root, like ground. Anthony Bourdain went over to Japan, and he was at one of the premier sushi places in Japan.
Right.
You know, real cheap spot. Huh? And they have the root. Russ, they were coming out and they were grinding this wasabi onto the plate. For one thing, they say it tastes nothing like the wasabi you think it tastes like.
And it's not green?
It's a flavor thing, not necessarily hot. Oh, it's green, but it's green naturally, not colored green,
not
in America,
neon.
Right? Because it's expensive. And he said just getting the wasabi in America would be that quality would be $80 to $100.
Oh, wow.
Just getting the condiment to dip your sushi into.
Now, the ginger they put on the plate, that's supposed to be to help...
cleanse the palate.
I thought it was supposed to be to make sure, like, the raw fish in your stomach didn't go bad.
That's man, you're so adorable.
That's what I heard. If you eat this, the raw fish, your tummy won't go bad.
You know, there's information out there. It's free. All you gotta do is type.
I save it for here so I can look like a moron so everybody can laugh. Why would I want to know the real truth? That's not entertaining at all. No, really, I thought you had the ginger because you're eating raw fish and that it helps to make sure that you don't get sick.
It's to cleanse the palate because of the different types of fish you're eating.
It's also the acidic balance because you have that pickling, and pickling is done with vinegar. And vinegar is that acidic balance between all the flavors. So when you have a flavor that's like one certain group of flavors, the acid in the ginger, and of course the flavor of ginger is not bad either, helps kind of balance out the flavor in your mouth.
So the ginger has nothing to do with the raw fish and making
it. It also helps you poop better.
I really did.
It's good for your stomach though. Gastrointestinally, ginger is very good.
Well, that's what I heard. It was good for your intestines. It's good for the digestive to digest the raw fish. I heard that's why you have the ginger.
I think it's pretty much for flavor though, right? I don't think they're.
Impression and the way it was explained to me again because of the different types of fish that you're eating, different types of raw, is to help cleanse the palate.
And people are saying the gingers kill fish bacteria.
That's exactly what I said.
That's a texter, Russ. They also say that blacks shouldn't be able to drink out of the same water fountains as us. So just got to relax on that, dude. You can't take that stuff too seriously.
I'm right again.
My God, dude.
No, you're not.
I think you have the ginger to help you digest the raw fish. That's what I said from the beginning.
Ginger.
Watch. It's not cleanse a palate. The cleanse a palate that you're supposed to smell coffee beans.
Yeah, the one texter's right. They don't do it on a grater. They actually grind the wasabi on a strip of dried shark skin that's been spread over a plank.
Yeah.
So they scrape it onto the shark skin and then scrape that off onto your plate.
Huh.
And then the guys, just to give you an idea who we're listening to, Russ, and who, when you read the texting service,
yes,
it says, on the real, though, Public sushi is fire. So that's the same people you're taking eating advice from.
I always wonder if that, I see that sushi all the time, and I feel like it's cheating. I don't know why. And it looks like a real Asian person making it, so it looks as authentic as possible.
Well, Russ, they don't dress up some Latino guy and have him look like an Asian guy. It's an actual...
They do that at some of those places.
No, not these. But the Publix has people who come in and make it fresh every day. I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's not the worst sushi I've ever had.
Right. I don't know. Sushi's good.
And so a guy says here, so Russ, I can go eat garbage, and as long as I eat ginger, I'll be cool?
No, I think it helps you digest raw fish. You laugh at me all you want. That's just what I heard. I didn't research it. I don't know.
Don't you know? You say yes, so we can watch a guy eat raw garbage.
Sure.
Come on, man.
Let's see you do it.
You're trying to push this YouTube channel thing.
Yeah. So right here, it's basically to offset the acidic spiciness of the pickled.
That's exactly what I said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like I have a cooking show and maybe know a little bit about what I'm talking about.
Just a teeny tiny.
I'm just spreading what I heard when I was in a sushi place. That's what the lady told me. Russ, we are laughing at you, not with you. I don't care as long as you're laughing. I don't give a flip what you're laughing
at. But the digestion thing is real. We've always heard that ginger, but I don't think it's the pickled ginger, Russ. I think they're talking about just raw ginger.
Yeah.
By the way, which has one of the best aromas in your kitchen of all time, man. I'm telling you, there's nothing like carving a root of ginger to dice to put in something fresh that you're going to make, whether it be a stir fry or whatever. Nothing in the world opens up the way, I mean, that's just one of the most beautiful earth-produced natural aromas on the planet is fresh ginger.
All right, other faux pas. When you eat your sushi,
yes,
do you use your chopsticks or not?
Oh, yeah.
You use chopsticks, right? You're not eating with your fingers.
No. Yeah, I use my chopsticks
all the time.
I'm good with my chopsticks, too. Yeah.
You know, one of the things we used to do for primetime, we do the live events, is we would put sesame seeds on a plate. And we'd put like 20 of them, and we would make somebody feed sesame seeds with chopsticks to their mate.
That's kind of hard to do.
As a thing. And you wouldn't believe how many people are insanely good with chopsticks. We had this one couple, and Russ, it was like she was doing it with a piece of stick with gum on it, just boop, 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 one after the other, picking up sesame seeds with chopsticks.
I don't know why I feel like it's disrespectful when people will like, no, I'm using a fork, and you're using a fork to eat sushi. I don't know why. It's just like, come on, man, at least try. Come on, you could, you know, and there's somebody that I know, he always wants to just use his fork.
On the list of 15 things, the do's and don'ts between things to do and not do while eating sushi, this is one of the don'ts. Don't put ginger on sushi before eating it.
No, no, no.
The sushi chef has crafted your food with balance in mind. He doesn't need you to mess with his art. Eat ginger between pieces of sushi as a palate cleanser.
Well, then you are right.
I would tell you, I would take exception to that. I have put ginger on my sushi, and I do love the acid it gives each bite. But it is from roll to roll, though.
Weirdo.
It is from roll to roll, you mother.
Oh.
Yeah, you, Mr. Chef Guy, who likes us to enjoy the way that you create and present the plate. How about I start throwing some A1 right on top of my steaks when you make it?
Yeah, that's fine. And then I can rub it on my sack before I bring it to you, dude. I see you put ketchup on my steak. I'll never cook you anything in the world.
All right, well, so if I'm the sushi chef and I see you putting ginger on my rolls,
guess
what I'm doing with that salmon.
Oh, don't say it.
You got a good point.
Don't say he's putting it there.
You got a good point.
Don't you dare say that he's putting it down there on his little...
Hey, the
chicken bagging it.
Monster YouTube channel is up now. This is the first day of it. Go subscribe. All you got to do is type in iHeart Monsters Radio. Three words, iHeart Monsters Radio. Subscribe. There are some great videos up now. There'll be stuff every single day.
And I want some sushi.
And it's new for 2018. So, today's the first day of it. Go check it out. There's some really cool videos up. There's Dirty Jim guy, and the guys got to interview Steve O. We have an interview with Monique, also with Hulk Hogan and Astronaut. John McBride, all up there, and there's a couple wrestling matches up there as well. So go check it out. It's iHeart Monsters Radio on the YouTube channel. Go check it out. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
It's magical.
Full of promise and hope and totally ignorant of reality.
That's how a man's supposed to talk to a woman when he's being sexy.
Radio 104.1.
Radio 104.1.
See the blazing, you'll be for us.
Welcome back to the Monsters. My name is Real Radio 104.1. I want to thank our buddy Rodney the Gator Hunter, who's sharing our YouTube channel for us right now. He just sent me an email, said he's going to share it with all of his YouTube listeners, which or viewers, I guess is what it is. Very cool. And people are asking about how to see the new YouTube channel. It is just type in iHeart, one word, Monsters, another word, and Radio, another word, and there's all kinds of cool content up there. Right now, it's our very first day for our new YouTube channel, and excited about it, and should be very, very cool. Now it's time for Deborah Roberts to tell us what's going on in the real news. I know there's a... Let's see, there's some voting going on today, right?
Yeah. Just a little race in Alabama.
A little race in Alabama?
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody's paying attention to it, though.
I mean, and it's so hard to call. The polls are all over the map. Fox News has Roy Moore down by 10 points. Emerson College has Moore up by 9 points.
Did we learn, though, that the polls really don't mean? I mean, like, polls never really showed us anything that was accurate before.
But the Fox poll having him down by 10 points is kind of a tell, considering that if they were going to fudge it either way, I mean, they would fudge it in his favor, considering.
And I think the most interesting thing is, like, on the eve of an election, to have two widely respected polls be, you know, 19 points apart, you just don't see that.
Right. Nobody knows anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Know
no idea.
Yeah.
No idea.
And then I know that he did an interview with a local, like, TV show or something, but he's not done any really national interviews, right?
No, he's pretty much stayed, you know, apart from campaign rallies, he's kind of kept a low profile.
It's like, if I put my head in the sand, you can't see me and ask me any questions, I don't have to answer anything.
Yeah, well, there have been worse metaphors.
Yeah.
Just keep them at... Here's the thing, when you interview and you're not prepared for a professional interview to ask the question that you haven't been prepped for by your guy...
Stay away.
You just don't do it. Just simply because we learned. Funny enough, we were watching the Scott Peterson case last night on like the Justice Channel or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah,
and they said his.
No, that was Investigation Discovery.
Is that what? Yeah. Because I forgot, Deb.
I'm a freak.
So we were watching it last night, and they said his big mistake, one of the biggest mistakes he made in that entire case, considering the evidence going in, was his interview with Barbara Walters.
Yeah.
He simply wasn't prepared for somebody to be that smart. He thought that narcissist aspect of being that guy, that pathological lying maniac, right? He thought he could outthink her, and she she basically did him.
Yeah.
I mean, national television, you can't hide from that camera, man. The America gets to see how you react to that direct question.
Right.
They get to see you twitch and roll your eyes or look the other way, and then done.
Or get sweaty.
And unlike,
sweaty.
And listen, unlike a jury, this is not a jury.
Right.
Everybody has a vote.
Yeah.
And their vote counts.
And listen, the sweaty comment has, you know, a place in history because that's when politics really changed, when it became a television sport in a way. When
Richard Nixon.
You know, he looked sweaty and pasty and pale next to Jack Kennedy. So he just, you know, it matters
and,
now.
Is that where he never let him see you sweat?
Who knows?
Is that where it came from?
I don't know. But I bet Betty Witches he came up with it.
And I'll tell you something else, too. How did Clinton look after 3 years after during the Lewinsky thing?
Yeah.
I mean, they showed him beforehand. He's a little fat McDonald's Clinton. And then a year and a half after going through the whole Lewinsky thing, dude looked like he had cancer.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like he was rotting away.
He's really thin still. Yeah.
Yeah, he was. Out west, California, they are still dealing with that Thomas fire, one of five. Angel, how's your family doing? Are they still?
Actually, one of my real super close friends, her and her family, they're flying in tomorrow. They're leaving. And they're going to spend the rest of the holidays here.
Oh, really? So they're leaving California?
Yeah, they're getting out. And then my sister-in-law, I talked to her nightly, and she's gone out to Santa Monica. She's staying on the beach. So it's a daily thing. You know, you can feel it and whatnot and see it and smell it and all those things. But her immediate home wasn't in danger, but it just... The neighborhood and the area and just trying to move around. It just being a pain in the ass.
Yeah, exactly. And some people who were able to go home were told they had to get ready to evacuate again because the flames were heading their way. I mean, over 230,000 acres.
Wow.
You know, 800 buildings, including 680 homes, have been destroyed.
Well, Carlos flew out to L.A., and he was there yesterday. I was curious to hear from him to see if it affected the plane flights at all. Because, I mean, I don't know how close it is to the airport, but, I mean, I would think it would affect...
It could, right? And let's say there was a change in direction in the winds. But right now, the way that it's happening, with the way these Santa Ana winds are going, and some of the aerial video footage of it is just stunning, it's blowing it all out to sea right now. Mm. So you'll see these, like, just smoke trails coming out of the city of Los Angeles. And it looks like, I mean, for lack of a better term, it looks like the city's on fire. It is.
It
looks like what you would see in the, you know, destruction movies that we've seen back in the day.
Now, are there any televangelists saying that L.A.'s on fire because they harbor the gays?
Not yet.
Not that we're aware
of. Not yet. They haven't thought about it.
Does Robertson know what's going on?
And we talked about this a little bit this morning.
He doesn't know it's Tuesday.
I want to see if you had anything else on it. And that's the Keaton Jones story. And there were, you know, one day we all feel for the kid. Next day it's like, your mom's a racist. And
now you know why I hate social media.
Oh, man. They made it. Now there are people that are saying that, and I don't know if this is even accurate.
Yeah.
There are people that are saying, and now Al Sharpton has come out to say, Al Sharpton is now involved, and he said, look, even if he did use the N-word, and even if he did say that, we all should support him because nobody should be bullied, which I'm surprised. That's not what I think Al Sharpton would say. But
But I think that's the takeaway, is that people are like, all right, you know, it was a feel-good story yesterday. Today, we've taken him down at the knees.
Yeah.
You know, let's not forget.
I know that's what people think, and unfortunately, that's what the perception is. But the truth of the matter, what's even worse than that is that we're not talking about him anymore.
Right.
We're not talking about bullying anymore.
It's his mom.
It's all on his mom.
Yes.
And her sister and the GoFundMe account. And what happens to this is the same thing. Because of this, people are going to be less quick to be open,
helpful
or open their hearts. For what? 12 hours. Everybody that seemed like they was in tune with this thought that this was a good thing to do, and it was the right thing to do.
To give love to this kid.
And anybody that, you know, donated money or whatever, look, you did the right thing. You know, all those things are right to do that, because what's going to happen now, the next story comes out, and we're not going to be receptive to it. You know, it
says here that his mother Kimberly is being questioned by because of some controversial photos on social media, from the past. She was standing next to a Confederate flag and also criticizing the NFL players for taking a knee during the national anthem. A lot of people were criticizing that, so you can't get on her for that. But the Confederate flag,
the language,
the stars and bars. She's like, this is Tennessee, you know. The Confederate flag is everywhere in Tennessee. You know, just don't make it about the mom. It's still about Keaton.
But even Al Sharpton said, look, you should support this kid anyway.
Yeah.
And his mother has nothing to do with it. It's about the little boy being bullied. And that's, you know, I agree with that. But let me ask this question, though. We asked this earlier. We don't know this to be true. Let's just say hypothetically, you saw that story, you saw the kid crying, you feel bad for him, and then you found out he went to school, and because of the way he was raised, he used the N-word to some kids that are his age, and one of those kids poured milk on him. Does it make it a different story?
No.
See, I think
it doesn't for you?
I think it does.
It does change it a bit for me. It changes the texture of the story for me, for sure.
It's kid acting out of retaliation, not just picking on him because he's a cleft palate. It's like, oh, you called me the N-word? Well,
yeah,
you know.
Well, that's a schoolyard fight. I just hate the way that we can't just all get along.
Oh, stop it.
No, really. I mean, just everyone has a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. We're all different people. As we talked about this earlier, you know, obviously it's one of those things where, like, you look at it and, like, well, the kid still got bullied. The kid still has a cleft palate. It doesn't back any of that out.
They still, you know, shoved ham in his clothes, and this hasn't been a one-time incident. I mean, the school is saying
it's a one-time incident.
Russ just last week paid $30 to some chick that did that.
Yeah, give me.
Never met her.
Ham.
In the elevator. It happened in the elevator.
So what else is going on in the real? Anything locally here?
Oh, well, we've got Aramis Ayala and Governor Rick Scott just took off the gloves.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She just got real yesterday, right?
Yeah, she did. She sent him a letter that criticized him for not doing what, because this missed deadline for the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Attorney General Pam Bondi says she's incompetent. Governor Rick Scott says her letter is completely insufficient, so that's going to be a big battle royale.
It's a weird thing for her to fight this, considering it is pretty much shut and closed that she is the one who misled everybody up front, right? I mean, isn't she kind of fighting a dead fight, and doesn't it really kind of make her look really bad that she started this entire thing by just not being honest, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand the fight. Where's this fight? Why does she have a beef with the governor? The governor didn't lie about this.
Well, because, you know, him reassigning cases.
Yeah.
And so says, fine, we're going to go after the death penalty. And then she has 45 days to file it, and she misses it by 20 some days.
and he's the bad guy?
And he's the bad guy.
He does enough to make himself look like a dick. He doesn't really need help. But with this thing, it kills me that anybody would get behind her simply because, look, go back to the very beginning. Why did it last 10 minutes after her admitting she lied?
It looks like she just was really against the death penalty. She got, it's like, I'm going to tell him one way, I'm going to get the job, and then I'll make sure that I can stop the death penalty.
Yeah, but you can be that, but you just can't be the attorney general and say that, and then lie about it.
No, I know. Yeah. It's not right. Also, too, we have a SpaceX rocket ship
launch tomorrow. Yeah, it was supposed to launch today, but they want to have some time for more ground systems checks. So the earliest would be 11:24 a.m., and Budweiser is sending barley seeds up on that SpaceX mission as a way to, a better beer for space.
God, I thought you were going to say they were going to advertise on the rocket ship. That'd be badass.
That's just a mile. That's just a few hours away.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll happen soon. Did you get the story this morning about somebody taking a couple shots at a cop over in Melbourne?
Yeah, West Melbourne. They're still on the lookout for that guy, but yeah.
Yeah, at a traffic stop, guy starts popping off rounds at a cop. At a traffic stop.
And they're
Melbourne.
Dealing with that in Detroit, too, where someone's taking shots at drivers on interstates. They've had 4 shootings already with people just driving and being shot at randomly.
Oof.
Real quick, I know this is politics, but I want to ask you because this Roy Moore seat in the Senate, how valuable? I mean, I know that's super valuable, and one of the reasons Trump has gotten behind Roy Moore is because of the value of that seat. What does that mean if he loses to the Republicans in Congress?
Well, they see it as just making it that much harder to be able to fulfill, you know, the president's agenda.
Campaign promises and stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they need him in that seat, you know, to be able to pass the tax cut package that they want to pass by Christmas.
I think that's the number one thing, right? It has to be.
Right now, because it's going to be their only legislative win, even though the majority of Americans are not happy with that tax reform package.
Right. All right, Deborah Roberts, thank you so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
When we come back, we'll talk to Detective Bard from Crime Line. You're listening to The Monsters of the Morning.
No.
Mornings of Real Radio 104.1. Already got people asking on the texting server if they can't find the YouTube channel. It's iHeart Monsters Radio, 3 words. I made the same mistake. So when you go to YouTube, make sure it's 3 words and you'll be able to find it. Please like it or actually subscribe and share it. And we appreciate that. We got a lot of really cool stuff that's up there now. More cool stuff to come for 2018. This is the first day that we've announced it. So you can go check it out. Some people are having a hard time finding it, which, I wasn't very tech savvy myself, so it took me a little while. Detective Barb is here. Hello, Detective Barb. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Are you ready to catch some bad guys?
Yeah. Tomorrow's payday, so.
Tomorrow's payday.
It's always fun payday at Christmas time.
When you say that, when you say tomorrow's payday, what's the amount that you're paying out to people that, by the way, just so you know, Crime Line is where, you know, if you know someone that broke the law, you can call 1-800-423-TIPS, and it's completely anonymous. No one's going to know that you called, and if your phone call, if your tip leads to an arrest, then you're eligible for a cash reward. Now, some people don't even take the reward. They just want the bad guy caught.
And they don't want to go to court, and they don't want retribution and all those things. So that is actually probably the number one reason they call us is anonymity.
Not
about the money.
Not about the money. But
some people, the heart of the program, really.
But some people do take the money.
Some do.
And
small percentage.
So what do you think the average amount, and when you do these meetings and people hear you talk about it's payday, what's the average amount you'll be giving out?
Well, it differs because, you know, we have a couple of robberies tomorrow. So obviously the violent crimes are going to get paid a little bit more than the people who have a warrant for violation of probation for possession of cocaine.
Right.
I mean, you know, we have to look at each case.
Right. Yeah.
And then even some of those warrant tips end up leading to other drugs or guns or things like that. So it's I don't go on record saying you're going to get this unless it's a gun bounty. If you give us a tip and it leads to an arrest, the gun, and you person gets charged in Orange County, then you're going to get a $1,000 gun bounty. But
yeah,
other than that, everything is looked at. Every tip is looked at. And here's a pretty cool thing for this month. I totaled up all the approximate value of all the drugs that were seized through tips this month.
Mm-hmm.
Over $1 million.
Jeez Louise.
Wow.
That is 1 month. Over $1 million. We had some grow houses. I know that's going to upset some of these listeners, but
what?
Illegal grow houses. Let's just say that right up front.
Yeah, guys are on their burner phones calling their guy right now.
Stealing $20,000 worth of power, you know, to run their grow houses and stuff. So guess what? We're going to shut you down if you're doing it illegally.
It would make it better if at least they paid for their power. Let's be up and up.
Be a scumbag, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, you're making money. I mean, why not?
Hey, is most of that cocaine? Because, I mean, you have to. No. What is it?
A lot of weed.
Weed.
Really? Drives up $1 million. Do you know how much weed that is?
That's a lot.
That's a lot of weed, dude, to drive up $1 million price tag. That's why I was like, man, it's got to be like coke or pills or something.
We had some significant meth. It gets pretty expensive, so there were some other things that were seized. But it's kind of cool. We don't get to that number typically in a month. We'll have a couple hundred thousand worth of drugs.
How do they typically find the weed? Is it like flying over with a helicopter and using a heat seeking?
No. These grow houses are inside for the most part.
Oh,
yeah, but he's talking about the heat produced by the lamps and the power.
I saw that on TV once. That's why I'm asking you. They don't do that.
You know, up north, you know how they find it in Canada? Because I deal with Canada quite a bit for some reason. But up north in Canada,
there's no snow on the roof.
They know that something's happening in the attic there.
Yeah, but you got to remember that when the very first strains of the really high quality, very potent marijuana started coming into the States, it was coming from Canada.
Right. Mm. And so what happens here, literally some of these grow houses, you can smell it from the street when you're walking your dog.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You know, because they've revented, all the air conditioning's been revented and stuff. So if you have that problem and you don't want that drug house in your neighborhood, you just got to call anonymously.
1-800-423-TIPS. Also, too, we talked about this because of the story about the young man being bullied, and we kind of mentioned it the other day. You've got the Speak Out program, and it's the same phone number, 1-800-423-TIPS. But if your child is being bullied at school or in middle school, and they don't want to tell the teacher because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble or that the other kids will find out and beat them up or something like that, they can call 1-800-423-TIPS, and you'll send an officer out to investigate it, correct?
Yep. We'll have a school resource officer. Normally it's on campus. That's what Speak Out's intended for, is that, but we'll deal with it if it's at home too. The other thing that's kind of cool is starting January, right after first of the year, we're going to have a new tip page for the kids. So when you come to you land on our tip page, if you will, there's a lot of questions we ask adults, and we ask them to look for A, B, C, D, E, and it goes all the way through it's a whole test of things.
Yeah.
But for the kids, we have simplified that document, so it's much easier for them in the middle school area up through high school to be able to understand the questions that are being asked of them. And most of the kids are tipping us through their mobile device, so they can download it's P3. You can get it for free at the Google Store or at the Apple Store, and
You download it and you go click, and it automatically right there page pops up, and you tell us what you want us to know.
Very cool.
Pretty cool.
Hey, so I know also, you know, we're looking into the next year, and in the next year we've got the Crime Line Chili Cook-Off. You always look for ways to raise money. I do want to talk about the Chili Cook-Off. I want to drop something on you. Think about this, okay?
Oh, here we go.
No, just think about it. If you're looking for another fundraising event, okay, the other day I did something called
Frisbee Golf.
Disc Golf or Frisbee Golf. I'm telling you, Director Barb, it's fun, and more people, I think, could participate with that, because not everybody has golf clubs or can play, but Frisbee, that would be a really cool tournament.
You think?
I'm telling you.
Are you ready to get that up and running?
You'll put it on me. Okay. I was coming up with the idea. I didn't know I had to do it. Work. No, I know someone who puts those things together.
Oh, really?
And I was actually going to pitch that sometime next year. I think that'd be a really
cool
thing.
Are there a lot of those courses around?
It's amazing. It is amazing, the people that play disc golf or frisbee golf or whatever you want to call it. There's so many people that do it.
There's one that's been at Turkey Lake Park over in Pine Hills for a year. I mean, since I moved to Orlando, it's been there. But I believe they also have ones that you can, that are kind of portable. Like, you can make your own. Like, the wickets that they make are on a nice solid base, and you can put them wherever you want.
Just planting that seed. Think about it for next year. But tell us about the Chili Cook-Off. How's it going?
So, Chili Cook-Off is January 13th. Mm-hmm. If you've called us and left a message that you want in, I'll be calling you back this week. We need teams, and I would really like to see our professional division step up a little bit. So, some more restaurants. I'd like to see us bring in some restaurants. You can show off your goods. Let people know what you're out there and able to do. We'll be reaching out to some restaurants. Cool thing that's happening is we're actually going to, one of our biggest sponsors is going to be giving away some hot dogs. So Bimbo Bakeries is doing hot dogs. And
look at them.
It's going to be very cool. You'll have free bullet. You get this big bowl of chili.
That's smart. If you're sick of chili, you can get a hot dog.
You can go get a free hot dog.
Good
so
work.
You get a big bowl of chili. You can get some hot dogs. And then you get to taste all of the competitors.
Oh, that's great.
January 13th. We start testing at 11 o'clock, and I promise we're ready to judge, and the judging's over by 1.
Yeah.
So for $5 a person, the buses will move you from Route 46, the restaurant compound right there off of 46. They'll move you from there over into the Harley dealership. You pay your $5, and you're
It's a great event. It really is always a lot of fun, and you're going to be there. I mean, the food is amazing. A lot of people are there. And now, are you going to do anything for the? Sometimes you have stuff for the kids, like
nothing
for kids, huh?
No.
She didn't like kids very much.
It's not. I don't need some kid, sticky kid, and the wind comes up and this
sticky
bounce
kid.
House flies across I-4. Over in the other end of Longwood or Lake Mary or wherever
that's
we're
a good
at.
Point.
There's no way. I don't need that liability.
1-800-423-TIPS. It's 1-800-423-TIPS. Thank you, Detective Barb.
Hey, Barb, the bounce house full of kids just blew upside down into the retention pond. What do you want us to do?
Real Radio 104.1.
I'll get a beer.
I'm having person after person after person email me. He goes, Russia, all you got to do when you go to YouTube is type in iHeart Monsters. You don't have to type in iHeart Monsters Radio. I just want the page to be iHeart Monsters Radio so people know that we're on the radio. This is the most important thing in the world is what we're doing right now on the radio. The iHeart Monsters YouTube channel is a little extra, a little something, a little love for you guys, a little something extra that you'll get a kick out of. Hopefully every day there's going to be something new up and, you know, about 5-6 minutes of something cool. And there's a lot of stuff on there right now. If you go to our YouTube channel that is just, today is the first day that it's out. If you go to it, you got to type in three different words, iHeart Monsters and radio. By the time you type in iHeart and Monsters, it's probably going to pop up. You'll see the Monster M. Just click on that and please subscribe to the channel because that way you'll be able to see our live broadcast next week, next Friday. It's our first real telethon in a while because we're actually going to be, you could be on television because it's going to be on YouTube and it's a 4-camera shoot thanks to our friends over at Three Arrows Creative Group and it's going to be awesome. Also, it'll be uncensored. Whatever happens during the breaks, you'll be able to see it. So, you know, if you want to be a part of it, make sure you subscribe today and share it and tell people that you want to be a part, you know, that you want them to share it as well. We appreciate the help. This is something that we're doing on our own, by the way. This is an idea we came up with, and I talked to Carlos and Angel about it, and we're making this happen with a professional company. It's really one of the best in the state of Florida for putting together this kind of a show. They've worked with Mark Merrow. They've worked with SeaWorld and also the Nashville Network. They did a documentary for Anderson Cooper. So we got the best of the best to do the new Monster page, and it's all on YouTube. Someone asked me why we didn't use some other pages that are like Twixter or something, or some other
Stitcher,
not Twitter, but there's
no, it's Stitcher. We'll get there. We're in negotiations with them right now.
Well, I mean, there are other pages, I guess, that are out there. But let's be honest, YouTube is the big dog, and Monsters need to be on the big dog. I don't want to be some a little thing that is a startup or that is, you know, more underground than what YouTube is. So that's why we went with YouTube. It's a much much bigger deal. 407-916-1041 or toll free, it's 1-888-978-1041. Okay, so I know this is a problem that a lot of people do have in this country, and I think it might be something that Angel's battling, and I had issues with it as well, and that is this, man. I'm doing really well at going to sleep, okay, early. I do go to sleep early. My problem is I can't stay asleep at night now. For some reason, I keep, and I say for some reason, I might have figured out why, but let's say I might be taking a lot of pills and patches and all kinds of dietary, you know, to stay. Oh,
so you need to cut those off at 3 p.m.
The fact is you do know.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, I don't know for sure, but I'm almost guessing that all these diet pills and...
They have a touch of caffeine?
You know, and I got patches and I got all kinds of stuff. And that's,
wait, Jimmy doesn't know about the patches.
That might be
Russ right now...
Testosterone?
Russ right now has got like four different patches on him.
I take a shot for that. No,
four different energy patches on him.
An energy patch,
and on top of the pills. Yeah, on top of the pills, the green pills, and then the pre-workout that he drinks.
And then the ones I get from the other place.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're curious why you can't sleep through the night.
Yeah, that probably is why I can't
sleep. I'm with you, though. I'm going through that same issue right now.
Staying asleep.
Yeah. I've been, and it's been going on for the better part. I attribute this to when we went to fall back.
So you think it's a daylight savings time?
My sleep is off. My sleeping is off and has been off for some time. I just recently went to the doctor, and I am operating at a sleep deprived level. What's the word he used? Not deficiency, but I owe hours of sleep. I owe sleep. And it's one of those things that it doesn't matter if you sleep 8 hours in one night, you're still behind the eight ball. And I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Unprompted, you know, and then
you wake up at 3,
and then right
and then you wake up,
and then me wake, and then if I get up at 2 and stay up till 4, like by the time we're done here at 11, I'm like toast.
I went to bed at 8:45 last night, woke up at 11, then like, oh god, I gotta go back to sleep. Then I woke up again at 1, and then I woke up again at 2:30, and I'm like, oh, I gotta go. And then I start freaking out that I need to get sleep, because I want to be in a good mood by the time I get to the show, you know. So then I throw on a couple extra patches so I can have energy in there, and I'm sure my heart will give up by the time
I mean, there's no real evidence
60
of that. My wife has a problem sleeping at times. Last night, matter of fact, when I woke up this morning, I get up at like 4:45, something like that, and like I woke up excuse me, and in a perfectly clear voice, she says, I didn't sleep at all last night.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
Just been thinking about you. That's a song.
The checkup and everything that I just recently went to, they were thinking about, or this the first time they had the conversations of, are you interested? Like, have you done the melatonin? That doesn't work on me.
I do four of those.
Oh man, dude! You are a chemical wonder.
And two shots of the NyQuil Z stuff,
the sleep one. Yeah,
yeah, damn, dude!
It puts me to sleep, but
I can't. You got a battle going on in your body that's gonna—it's kind of be ravaging your body, dude. Right?
I mean, I wish I could see like the synapses and the cells talking to each other in your body right now, because there's a
thin,
war.
Looking thin.
There's a war going on. And then they asked me if my interests or my, you know, if I would be down to it for the Ambien. Ambien scares scares the crap out of me.
Oh,
so
somebody, you know, allegedly somebody gave me an Ambien one time, and man, that'll make you sleep good. See, but my doctor won't give it to me because she says I'm doing too many other pills. she won't. She goes, I'm not giving you Ambien. No. Yeah. I'm like, come on. And she told me to drink warm milk and get to bed early. And I'm like, oh, that's what my mom
warm
would say.
Warm milk.
Yeah, warm
my
milk.
God, was she your nanny?
I know. That's what my grandmother would tell me.
Make you some sensible oatmeal cookies while doing so?
Now, are you worried about things, Angel? Because maybe it's a mental thing. Maybe you're stressed about something.
So I go for a neurological test later on this week. I'm sure I'm going to fail that. Physically, like cardio and cardiovascular and all that kind of stuff, I came out all right. So they're looking, trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know? But other than that, I don't know why.
Lack of sleep is a problem in the entire country. It's not just you, not just me. Jimmy, you have no problem sleeping?
No, I really don't. Most of the time I sleep through the night. Mm-hmm. Once I got my mouthpiece from Dr. Kaplan that keeps me from snoring, I don't even snore myself awake or anymore like that. Occasionally, for some reason, I will snore with it a little bit, but most of the time it's adjusted where like I said,
I looked into that,
it's the best. That thing works good for me.
I'm sorry, do you snore?
Yeah, from time to time.
See, that could be why he's waking up.
But I don't, like, I've done the sleep apnea thing. I've had that test a couple times, and it's not, like, I don't know if it's even possible. Not that I necessarily have it or have a touch of it or whatever, but it's not so severe that it should be affecting my sleep.
Tori doesn't take any pills other than some hormone therapy stuff she's had to take since being very young. Doesn't do any of that. Doesn't drink hardly anything. And she still has fits probably twice a week sleeping. She told me this morning, she said, I'm going to have a really tough day. I think she got 3 hours of sleep last night. Matter of fact, when I got in this morning, she emails me stuff to take care of during the day for her house and business, whatever. And one email was sent at 2:36 a.m. and the other one was sent at 4:10 a.m.
Because she was awake.
She was awake. And then, of course, greeted me with bright eyes this morning at 4:45 when she's usually passed completely out. And I said, well, thank God we don't have to film a show tonight where you'll be up till 8 o'clock, because usually she'd literally walk in and walk straight to bed. She can't do that tonight.
For the last three or four months, it's consistently waking up. Doesn't matter what I do. I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
And what happens is you start worrying about that. Oh God, I'm going to wake up. And then it's almost like it comes to fruition, you know?
It's and then, after the post show stuff that I do here and everything, then it's not like I get to go home and take a nap.
I got an idea. Here's what
I got to go pick up the little one, and then it's me. I'm rolling with her until about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock.
Try this. That much JMO before you go to bed. That much JMO before you go to bed.
He can't do that during the week.
Is that a bad suggestion?
He doesn't JMO during the week.
Trying to help out.
Good looking out, but no. The first 7 months I was on this show, I tried that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It wasn't good
Russ,
for me.
Right, scratch I don't know if you know this. There's never just one JMO.
Exactly.
JMO always has friends. There's never one sensible shot of JMO. It's not like after dinner you go, you know what? I think I'll have a sensible cup of coffee.
What if you become a connoisseur of a fine wine and you have a glass of wine before you go to bed? Well, I wonder if that will keep you asleep.
I don't know. I mean, because I've tried for example, not the whiskey, but I've tried a good beer, right?
Right.
Then depending on what it is, I feel like I'm foggy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, what I've learned is that for during school nights, it's best that...
I want that one beer that makes me 6'4", 240 foggy. Show me that beer, dude. Right. Show me the beer your big ass is drinking and get you foggy. I want to save me some money. Because my fat ass is in methane 20 a night.
Well, because this is an issue in the entire country, there's an article here. It's proven methods to help you fall asleep. Now, do you have problems falling asleep, or is it just you fall asleep and then you wake back up?
Dude, okay, so my routine is this. I drop my kid off, and then I'll have dinner between 6 and 7, and I'm in my bed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my bed between 8 and 8:30.
Me too.
With the hope of falling asleep within the next hour or so. Now, I don't have a TV in my room, whatnot. I'll check some social media. We'll check some laptop stuff. And then I try to have everything turned off between 8:30 and 9.
All right, try this. These are some of the suggestions from this article.
All of these?
Well, that's in there. Let me get to that. Hold on. The first thing it says, Angel, if you can't fall asleep and you wake up, or anyone out there, it says, wake up, grab a pen, and write down your three top stressors, of the three things that stress you out, and then... an action for each one of them. Like, well, what do you want to do about these stressful things? So one, two, three stressful things, and what do you want to do about them? And then
put it, homework?
And then put it back down, and it says then you'll fall asleep because it'll be off your mind.
Okay.
Okay.
That doesn't sound like some hippie-ish at all.
Okay, that's a little hippie. That's for a fish fan, I'm sure. Number two. Let's see. Progressive relaxation exercises. Huh. So wait, if you wake up, you can't get back to sleep. It says here that start with your foot on one side of your body and your other foot on the other side of your body and do stretches in the middle of the night.
Doing yoga in bed?
Yeah. Well, you got to get out of bed. This technique will make you feel the strain of the body parts and signal the muscle groups that you need sleep.
Huh.
Sounds like some more hippie-esque to me. Yeah.
Yeah,
now, here's a good one. A big old orgasm releases the hormones and all the anti-toxins.
It gets the evil out. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it gets the evil out and make you go to sleep, basically. Yeah, it says that is a good stress reliever. And
man, I put that theory to the test a lot. And I'm still waking up at 2.
Which will help you cycle through the deeper stages of sleep. So they say everybody should have an orgasm before you go to sleep.
Huh. Working on that.
Are you?
I mean, not like right now.
Yeah.
I do. I mean,
here we go.
A lot.
To stay asleep. Here you go. This is what you need, Angel. This will help you out here, too. You need a weighted blanket. It says the pressure from a weighted blanket will trigger your brain to release the soothing neurotransmitters.
Huh.
And that it's almost like you're getting a big hug.
I've actually heard that before. Matter of fact, there is a company.
Are you kidding me?
No, there's a company that makes weighted blankets.
Not for nothing. That's the one that seems most inviting right now.
They it's a regular blanket.
More than the orgasm?
And I think they sew either not metal thread, but there's something they put in there, and it does. It makes it heavy. And I'm telling you, man, if you've ever stayed at a hotel that has that has really high quality sheets, which are denser thread counts, which means they adhere and kind of to your body more, you will sleep better.
That's what it says right here. Now, I'm suggesting don't ruin your weighted blanket, if you know what I mean. But it says here that fans say this helps them doze and go to fall asleep quicker than anything else. A blanket that's heavy.
I understand.
I'm telling you, man, that has value. It really does.
All right, Angel, here's another one, too, because I know you're having sleep issues. I am as well, right. So I might try some of this, too. An adult lullaby. Researchers say that if you sing to yourself, the consistent rhythm between 50 to 60 beats per minute, for about 5 minutes, no longer, you actually will just fall. It'll tell your brain, engage your brain, and you'll fall asleep.
If I'm can hear you say, hush, little baby.
Hush, little baby. Don't say your voice. It says it will help you.
I'm not going to do that.
This one says cannabis.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know where I've never had problems sleeping?
A study found that.
Denver.
Yeah, 4 milligrams of synthetic cannabis. Reduces the PTSD and nightmares and chronic pain relief. And that
chronic, you're right.
Weed is legal in some states, and that weed will help you sleep.
I can break it all down for you. As the Texan Services said over and over today, quote, smoke a fat bowl, bro.
See, I don't whether it's legal or illegal or whatever, I don't like it. I don't like it.
Okay, and this is what's going to upset like all my friends in Florida that do that, right? Here's the difference between the quality of the product that you get in Denver and the quality of product that you get in here in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to a dispensary, you know exactly to the T what you're getting.
Yeah, the pros know it all.
You know
what I mean? What do you like? What do you do? You want to sleep? Here you go.
Exactly. You can go in there and talk to them and be like, hey, listen, I'm having a problem sleeping. Here, try these.
Here's some 22%. This will put you down for a week.
Do I have to smoke or can get a brownie?
No, you
can
eat Eddie's.
Like a corn dog.
They got the edibles. Yeah. I don't know if they have the corn dogs yet. But
everybody's doing edibles now. Hardly anybody smokes anymore. Yeah. They either vape it. They vape it out of the pen or they eat it.
Yeah, they got the pen, the oils. There's a ton of delivery systems to choose from.
Man, if they had some sleepy corn dogs like that, I'm down with that.
What tends to happen in the things that are available here, you guys are just trying to zombie. I can't. And I can wake up in the morning and be fresh and ready to go. If I do some of the things that have been offered here in Florida, I'm stuck.
You know what? It also works. I'm telling you this, and this is for real. Like, if I know that I want something to at least assist my ability to shut my eyes and get sleep or at least fall to sleep, I don't have a problem staying asleep once I get there. But people talking, like the human voice. So what I'll do is I'll find a channel, usually like one of the news channels where a lot of the talk shows are just talking. They're not yelling. They're like, you know, good channels. And I'll put that on and just the human voice, the sound of a human voice, I can fall asleep to.
I put on music and I'll put a little timer on it so it'll shut off after about an hour.
Do you know why I can't do that?
Why?
Because if I know the song, I'll start singing it. Or at least in my head, I'll start playing the melody in my head. So that's why I can't listen to music. I've never in my life listened to a radio to go to sleep because I can predict what it is and I don't like that.
When I hear the music, I imagine the guy singing it or the girl singing it and I can see him doing a little concert and then it puts me in dream world. So like last night, I saw Barry Manilow singing to me. Don't go to bed angry, Angel, is another one. It says,
I don't do that.
It says, don't go to bed angry because those negative emotions will get stronger overnight and they'll wake you back up. So it says any conflict you got to solve before you shut your eyes because it will get worse throughout the night.
See, I'm lucky right now I'm single, so I don't have any reason to be mad.
Right, okay. I like that.
Okay, all right. And the
wow,
last,
that's terrible.
The last suggestion they give here is to stop spiraling. It says, let's see here. If you've got credit problems or whatever, stop overthinking it. There's nothing you can do about it in the middle of the night. So make a solid plan in the morning. You know?
Okay, that one I'm susceptible to from time to time where I'll get way too into my head. And before I realize it, it's been an hour or two and I've been trying to figure or think something out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that is tough. That is tough to turn that mechanism off.
So the heavy blanket is the one I've never really heard of before. And yeah. You both say that you've heard
no,
of it.
We're getting people texting in swearing by it.
Yeah, yeah. The heavy blanket works. I'm telling you, it's no different. You ever wonder, and my wife has wondered this for years, right? And when we first got together, she'd never really paid attention to thread counts and sheets and stuff like that. You know, so when we got together, she loves going to hotels. So we went to one of the nicer hotels in Orlando. They just built it and invited us to come out, so we went out. And everything in this particular hotel is the highest of quality, right? And we noticed, both of us, specifically her, she's like, man, I slept unbelievably good, and I wonder what it is. And believe it or not, when we got home, when you pull your covers up, she's like, what is different? What's so different? I go, well, it's the sheets. The thread count on these sheets aren't what you get at the really high quality. And the comforters, the down is more dense, so it feels heavier on your body. Trust me, dude, it works.
Well, that's a good idea. Actually, I have some really heavy sheets. I'll try those. But
how expensive is it to like move into the Alphond?
It's not the Alphond.
The one in Winter Park.
Well,
no, I was saying that because it's proximity to here to the station.
Yeah.
How about it wouldn't be bad? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
When you do get, though, that good night's sleep where you're asleep all night long, I can wake up and feel my body going, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, you sit straight up in bed. When you know you've had a great night's sleep, you literally sit straight up in bed. You open your eyes. You're like, and the minute your feet hit the floor, you're like aware.
My ears get oily. If I slept really well all night long, it's like I got oily ears. I don't know what's going on. It made extra wax that night or something.
It wasn't on your list. And Jimmy, have you ever heard of this? A lot of people are saying magnesium powder. We're getting a lot of texts about that.
Magnesium
powder.
I
don't know. Somebody earlier in the show said something about having a magnesium deficiency will keep you from sleeping.
Huh.
But I've never heard that. But that magnesium powder thing has come in a couple of times.
What is magnesium powder used for? That's not saltpeter, is it?
No, I don't believe that.
No, I always thought it didn't like Phillips magnesium, that blue bottle, the purple bottle, right?
Oh, yeah.
I know it's essential in your body. I mean, I know you have to have certain amounts of it, right?
I don't want to know. Hey, if you get a chance, we got a brand new YouTube channel. You can find it by going to three words, iHeart Monsters Radio. Subscribe to it today, and there'll be a live show next Friday. But there's all kinds of cool stuff up right now, so subscribe to it and share it. We really appreciate that. When we come back, it's time for Angel to bring you Monster Sports. You're listening to the Monsters Morning.
It's the time that every Santa has a ball. Does he ride a red-nosed reindeer? Do a turn up on a sleigh? Do the fairies keep him sober for a day? So here it is, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Real Radio Orlando on Facebook, brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC.
Real Radio. Real Radio. 104.1.
Buns, by the way, are insanely good. Hey! Hold on, let it play.
Originally hot chocolate, right?
Yep. See what you guys think of this take on this.
Setting the tone, buddy.
Who the hell's that?
It's a kid on the come up. His name's Ty Segall.
Okay.
He's got he's probably one of the better songwriters in America right now, and he did this cover, Everyone's a Winner, from his upcoming album, Freedom. Freedom's Goblins.
That's the truth.
Hey, remember, tomorrow is our Christmas wish show. If you have a Christmas wish, tomorrow's the day to get it live on the air. Now, you can put your Christmas wish on our website at monsters.fm if you want to. And some of those are being granted by really great listeners and people that want to help out, which is very cool. But tomorrow we'll do our live show. And listen tomorrow, and if you hear somebody that you'd love to help them out and have them, you help them have a great Christmas and want to grant their Christmas wish, tomorrow's the day to do it. We have a pretty good track record of the live show people. Like 95-97% of those actually get come true, which is pretty cool. It's basically all we do is put it out in the air and make the connections, but you, the listeners, grant the wishes and throw the wishes out there. So that's always a show that people look forward to. So it's tomorrow. It's the Christmas Wish Show. I'm Russ Rollins along with Dirty Jim, and now Angel's going to bring you Monster Sports.
Monster Sports is brought to you by Lady Jane's Haircuts. And fourth caller, right now, you're going to get a guaranteed spot for your chance to compete in the Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men's $50,000 flyaway happening December the 17th from 3 to 5 at the Lady Jane's UCF location. You'll be competing for the grand prize, a flyaway which includes tickets to the bowl game, airfare, and hotel accommodations for two. If you correctly guess the final score of the bowl game, you could win $50,000 cash. I'm giving you a guaranteed spot, fourth caller. More information, go to realradio.fm, keyword Lady Jane's. A couple of little tidbits. For the longest time, if you're a fan of the Boston Red Sox, what beer has typically been associated with them?
Sam Adams.
Now, see, that's what I thought, right?
Yeah, I mean, it has
but
to be.
But apparently, for the longest time, it's been Budweiser.
Oh, really? Or I was going to say, the other one would be Narragansett, right?
Budweiser had the most prominent, let's put it this way. Sam Adams might have done things with them, but inside Red Sox
stadium
where they play, the most prominent positions,
Fenway
Park, sorry, thank you, was held by Budweiser. They just made a deal in the biggest, what's saying is the biggest change in the history of Red Sox sports. Sam Adams replaces Budweiser as the official beer of the Red Sox.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Budweiser usually does not let stuff like that go, man. I mean, because if you go to any park, it's like, it's three companies. It's Bud, Miller, and Coors, right?
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that's, I guess that's a pretty big deal in Boston. Last
I'm
going
to pick up some Sam Adams. I haven't had a Sam Adams in a while. That's some damn good beer.
That's really good beer.
They have Christmas beers that are pretty good.
Yeah, but I just like the regular original Boston Lagers, one of my still favorite beers. Damn good.
Easily. Shout out to Miami Dolphins. I always win money, and this is why I'm a armchair or like a, you know, casual fan of the Miami Dolphins. I always win money when the Dolphins play the Patriots.
They can't beat them at home.
I don't know why that is.
The Patriots cannot beat the Dolphins at home. You see the record like for the last like 20 years?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so it's unbelievable how bad they play down there.
Dolphins beat the Patriots?
The Dolphins were a double-digit dog at home.
I should have worn my jersey today. damn, I didn't know they won.
Yeah, they beat the New England Patriots.
That's called being a fan.
They made Brady look pedestrian. He threw a handful of interceptions.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That Dolphin defense.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's ever said those words together, have they?
Freaking Jay Cutler looked great last night.
Cutler looked otherworldly. Like, dude,
he threw a couple passes that were pretty insane.
Look,
I mean,
it wasn't a ridiculous blowout. The Dolphins win 27-20, but the thing is they won.
Yeah. Was that in Miami?
Yeah.
In Miami. Anytime New England Patriots come to Miami, Miami for whatever reason. I don't know if it's the nightlife. I don't know if it's the clubs. I don't know who gets at them. Patriots have a hard time with them. It always tickles me when they lose down there.
A little Pittsburgh Christmas present.
Oh, that's what a lot of people are saying, that it was a trap game, that the Patriots were looking down at Pittsburgh as opposed to paying, because that's their next game.
You're right.
As opposed to paying attention to the Miami Dolphins. But
Dolphins are due a winning season at some point, aren't they?
Well, this for them, it keeps them in the mix for the playoffs.
Wow.
So this was a really big win for them. So again, shout out to you guys. Good job.
When's the last time they had like a really great team, like a win, like been to the Super Bowl or anything like that?
Oh, they haven't been in the Super Bowl in a long, long time.
It was like Dan Marino years, right?
I don't think he ever even went. Well, I think they went once, but
he never got back to it. Yeah. Breaking, and then you asked this question yesterday, and the world provides.
Okay.
I'm surprised that it hasn't got much run this morning. I think we're waiting for more of the specific details to come out. But you were wondering when the next celebrity that was going to get caught up in this sex scandal.
Sports celebrity, yeah.
We had the cook yesterday step away from his...
Mario Batali.
And he had to leave the chew.
His empire, by the way, 29 restaurants, 2 or 3 TV shows. And Anthony Bourdain was a close friend. You know, of course, Bourdain, a lot of people will know him from No Reservations. He's kind of like one of the Ramones for food. I mean, he's kind of like that guy. And his girlfriend, Asia Sorrento, I think, or Argento, was one of the women that was accosted by Weinstein. Yeah. So he's been very outspoken, and he sent out a tweet yesterday saying, hey, look, you know, even though it's one of my friends and somebody I've admired for a very long time, does that mean I put my head in the sand? No.
Well, so this guy that you're talking about, what's his name again? The cook, the
Mario Batali.
Yeah, he came out and said, you know what? I can see where some of the things I've done are improper, and I apologize. And every time they step down and they apologize and everything, then they lose their career. But, you know, I guess the president today basically denies all 12 of those claims. And when you deny it, you're good. If you admit it, then you lose your job.
Batali steps down, but still the president and still the owner of most of those businesses. So stepping down just means he's not going to be the face of those industry or those businesses anymore.
It's like you're admitting you're wrong.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, financially it's not going to hurt him, though. I don't believe. I guess I could be wrong.
So do we have a sports star?
Yeah, this one's big.
There's four total, but the one's got the name, right?
So these guys worked in one way or another for the NFL Network. Ex-NFL Network employee alleges sex harassment against former executive, current former talent, including Marshall Faulk, Warren Sapp, Donovan McDabb, Ike Taylor, Heath Evans, and Eric Weinberg, who now runs Bill Simmons' The Ringer.
Wow, really?
All these guys have been suspended from the NFL Network until as their investigation goes further, and it's all... looks like they've all were harassing the one lady, and her name was Jamie Cantor, and so they all were harassing this one specific lady. That all happened in from last night to tonight. So we'll see how that plays. But some of the, if you read the allegations,
yeah,
it's very specific and very detailed. And then what they asked and what they suggested and whatnot. So those guys are, you know, under scrutiny as we speak. In a bizarre, but again, not shocking move, LeVar Ball had signed basically a professional contract for his two boys that are not in the NBA.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're going to go to Lithuania to play pro ball.
Well, you know, that's nice. Lithuania, why there?
The town that they're going to go play in Lithuania, there's about 10,000 people that live in that town. The league that they're playing in, that team has been having issues making payroll to pay the guys. I've heard rumors of what they are going to be making per game, and I can honestly say I was making more money than that when I was playing ball in PR. So... LaMelo, 16, LiAngelo, 19. They're the younger brothers of Lonzo Ball are going now to play for, and where's the name of the team?
It's called Prenu Viatus or something like
that. There you go. Glad you said it, not me. So this is a really interesting move to take. I mean, so these kids, like the one kid, he was about to play ball at UCLA. He could have played D1 ball at another prominent school.
Why didn't he do that?
His dad, they're following their dad.
He's the one who got busted stealing.
Shoplifting.
One of the brothers they just put up there. And it's very interesting because I heard a report this morning saying this league has a hard time paying the players, that they play in a venue that sits like 1,400 people, and 500 of those seats are for sponsors and friends and family.
Yeah, think about it this way. LaMelo's 16. He should be playing high school ball. His dad pulled him out. Yep. He's self-schooling him at home now. So it's going to be interesting to see if this avenue or if this works for them to get to the NBA, because ultimately I would think is that you want to play in the league. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so but they've signed contracts. UCF football has announced 6 new staff members yesterday. Were you guys aware that Coach Frost, when he goes to Nebraska, he's taking the entire coaching staff with him?
I did not know that.
He's taking the entire coaching staff with him to Nebraska.
Everybody is
going with Coach Frost to Nebraska. That's why it's been kind of they haven't really made an announcement as of yet, unless it's happened in the last 12 hours, whether they're going to let him coach the Peach Bowl game or not.
I was gonna say, on one hand, that's really cool for him being very loyal to his people, but then that sucks for us, right?
Well, I want to ask a question about that. Does Nebraska have to pay out his contract to UCF? Is there an incentive for UCF to let him just walk out in the middle of a contract? I've never understood this about the coaching thing. Look, in my business, you sign a deal, dude, I can't do anything. I can't leave somebody a phone message without iHeart having a claim to it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we have no compete clauses that lock, stock, and barrel. I couldn't go work anywhere for 6 months after leaving this company. And if I did leave, I could actually get sued for leaving this company in the middle of my deal. I've never understood that.
College football doesn't operate even remotely.
Well, I mean,
like
I know,
that.
And we watch in the NFL, they leave and jump all over the place. But what I'm saying is, why would UCF allow, if they have this guy locked up under contract, why would they allow him to walk out and then take the entire staff that made their school a national story
and take them with
for a couple months and take them with them, essentially sending us back down to, again, back to the chalkboard? There has to be some incentive for the school. Yeah. They can't be just letting him go.
There's nothing they can do. I don't even know if they have a exclusivity clause in the contract. He's gone. The deal's already done. It's all said and done. So now where they're trying to put a staff together, early signing period comes up now between December the 20th and 22nd. So it puts this coach in a kind of tough spot because he's got to recruit, and then potentially play a bowl game if they decide not to let Coach Frost and those guys coach these guys in that bowl game. So I didn't realize the details of that in the sense that they were taking everybody with them.
Yeah, a guy in the texting service says there's a $2 million buyout that Nebraska has to pay. There has to be some incentive for the school. So $2 million is $2 million. I mean, it's not going to make you 12-0 next season, but at least it's something.
Yeah, we'll see. We got the final announcement yesterday. Giancarlo Stanton became a Yankee, and a lot of different speculation and rumors and whatnot. Conspiracy theories to that, but he's officially a Yankee now.
Yeah, I noticed Bradshaw bouncing around here like a 6-year-old walking on his toes this morning. Douchebag.
And then Orlando Magic, we got a game tomorrow night here at home versus
basketball.
We play basketball. Yeah, we're 12-15. We're all right.
That's not bad.
Yeah, we got the Clippers coming in tomorrow at 7 p.m. And that's Monster Sports.
Thank you so much. Hey, I want to remind you that on Friday night, it's going to be a monster meetup for the holidays at Ember at 3-for-1 Drinks. I'll be at Ember for 3-for-1 Drinks. I think we're also going to film some for the new YouTube channel. So if you want to be on the YouTube channel, have some drinks, kind of celebrate the holidays monster style, do it with me this Friday from 4 till 7 at Ember, downtown Orlando. Can't wait to see you guys there. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Radio 104.1 on Twitter. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. From Radio.
Radio. 104.1. Hey, thank you guys for subscribing to the new Monster YouTube channel. They got over 1,500 people so far with from this morning. We appreciate that. When you get home, if you get a chance to do it, that'd be cool. Just subscribe. And there's a lot of material on there right now, and there'll be new stuff up today. Later on today, we want to thank our friends over at Three Arrows Creative Group for putting this thing together. It's a professional YouTube channel. This is not just us with our cell phones trying to wing something. This is a project, and it's going to be happening all through 2018, so we're very excited about it. And if you want to be a part of it, you can be part of it by showing us your talent next Friday to help us raise money for the Coalition for the Homeless. We've done this every year for the past 3 or 4 or 5 years, I think. And so if you got a talent, something that's visual that everyone can watch and see, then we'd love for you to come down and join us. And we have some surprises for next week. But and you'll be able to watch it all live on our new YouTube channel. And it's iHeart Monsters Radio, three different words. You can't run them all together or you won't be able to find it. So the Census Bureau, let's see here. Yeah, the U.S. Census Bureau did a five-year American community study survey to figure out the top 6 jobs that where people get a higher divorce rate. These are the 6 jobs where there's the highest divorce rate in the United States. It's not worldwide, just in the U.S.
All right.
And the one that's number one is not anything I would have thought of. But
really?
Would you want to take a guess at so you can get one of the top 6?
Well, I would think it would be somebody who is away from home a lot. And possibly has access to other possibilities.
I'm going to give you that one because that's pretty much right on the money with number 1, 2, 3, 4. Number 4.
An airline pilot or something like that?
No, I think about it. You were just with them. Cabin crew on cruise ships.
Yeah.
They are at 50.5% chance of a divorce or divorce rate with people that work on the cruise ships.
Do you know why?
What happens on the boat stays on the boat,
well,
dude.
They're at sea. Their contracts are 7 months long. We learned that. We asked a lot of questions to the guys who were working for Royal Caribbean, and they love the company because, I mean, you know, they don't have, but believe it or not, and because we were talking about whether they're married or not, and believe it or not, a relatively high number of them get married. Now, of course, we don't talk about success rates, but they're on that boat 7 months,
mm-hmm.
and then they're off for 2 months, then that whatever, and then they come back and do more.
Also, they add in their flight attendants with the cabin crew. They're like the same thing. So they're also at 50.
What happens
5.
On the plane stays on the plane.
Well, no.
Well, you're just away all the time, man. I mean,
you fly to a different city. Your husband doesn't know.
Yeah.
You know?
I saw that movie with Denzel. I see how they party.
George Clooney.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Clooney up in the air. I mean, that one chick was a businesswoman and flew all around the world and started up a relationship with him. Next thing you know, gums up there, going to say hey to her and surprise her. Full
Denzel's
family, 2 kids.
Which one?
Yeah,
Denzel's scenes were better. And then, remember the flight where he barrel rolls his plane?
Flight 57 or
something
whatever it is.
Like, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, somebody a long time ago always told me, if you want to make sure you're going to score, a Skytramp is the way to go. I always thought Bo was a... you know, making things up, but it turns out here, it says right here that the flight attendants and also cabin crew on a cruise ship.
Yeah, yeah.
They're in third place. So you got one. Andrew, you want to take a stab? One of the, this is the highest, and this is done by the U.S. government, by the way, highest divorce rate in these particular
and
jobs.
It's from the government?
Yes.
An FBI agent.
No, they don't, they're not listed here.
I would say, though, police officers or
some
or,
type of law enforcement.
No, not in the top 6.
How about fire department?
Not in the top 6.
Doctors.
Not in the top 6.
I thought dentists at one point.
Bankers.
No, that was suicide rate.
No, number one.
Don't say number one yet.
Okay.
Well,
I don't think you'll ever get it.
We got number 4.
The only one that would, the only one of all of us three that would even come close to a meeting and talk to these people would be Dirty Jim.
Astronaut.
Chefs.
Astronaut. Chefs is not right.
So. Yeah, I mean, is it
real specific?
Not logical at all. Like, there's no way to logically come to this conclusion.
No, I think it is. You just don't think of this as a job that most people have. But
heavy engine mechanic,
military.
No, I'm gonna give it.
Thermonuclear warfare,
gaming managers, people that manage and work at casinos and game rooms have the highest chance, most likely to split out of every job in the country. 52.9% divorce rate above all else. Why would that be?
I know why. You ready?
Yeah.
Again, what's it always break down to?
Sin City.
The party.
Math. Right. So it all breaks down to math. How many of those people actually exist?
Not that many.
So it doesn't take that many of them to fail to skew the numbers. It's not like postal workers. There's hundreds of thousands of them. So if 10,000 of them get divorced, it doesn't tip the scale as if you have 1,000 casino pit bosses and 150 of those are getting divorced. You know what I'm saying?
Well, then the number two answer is the exact opposite of what you just said, because the number two answer, there's a lot of these people, and they are at 52.7%. They're right up there with gaming managers.
Like sales reps?
No.
No. And you say there's a lot of, school teachers.
No.
Marriage counselors.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, look at him, Russ. He's got jokes. Great beard and jokes. Not fair to the other good.
We run into these people all the time.
Truck drivers.
No. And they have a 52.7% chance of getting a divorce because maybe they're around a lot of alcohol.
Bartenders.
Yeah, just the hospitality industry is so difficult.
It says bar staff, it's the alcohol, they're in the bars and the casinos. It says that if the people that are in that industry have a really high rate of divorce.
I couldn't imagine being married to a bartender. I mean, you think about that? Think about...
Well, if he's hot, I could.
Oh. We're trying to help you.
Gaming,
you just can't see it, can you?
Gaming service workers is number three. Now that goes back to the gaming manager. So it's once again, it's in the.
It's like dealers or whatever, I guess. If you're in the casino, man, just think about the nature of that. I mean, you talk about Sin City, alcohol, gambling.
Yeah.
You know, lots of wealth in the room, a lot of temptations in the room, you know.
Now, number four, there's a lot of these guys listening to the show right now, and you guys are...
Construction workers.
The divorce rate amongst construction workers has risen for whatever reason. They don't know why. And they found it to be up from 46% up to 50%.
You know, I bet why.
And they're not saying why here. It says they don't know why it's up so much.
Well,
but
the economy's good. People are building. So they're working more, right? I mean, they're away from home more. Look, man, I mean, we've learned about women. One thing, you can't ignore them. I mean, you can give them all the money in the world.
Though.
You can do whatever you want. You just can't ignore them. You start ignoring your woman, I don't care how much money you have or what you get her. You buy her a watch every week.
Yeah.
You ignore her, she will leave your ass.
Or hump the pool guy.
Whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter. Whatever that turns into. But if you're working construction, slinging that hammer 12 hours a day,
yeah. You
come home, all you want to do is grab a beer, some food, and get in bed. Guess what?
That doesn't work out.
You know women? You know any?
The last two on this list, I don't know that you guys will get it, but I mean, I don't know if it makes sense, but there are two more. Now, these are this is done by the U.S. government. These are the jobs that have the highest divorce rate. Number one is gaming managers, 52.9%.
Was this from Vegas?
Divorce. Huh?
Was this all out of...
No, it's not. No, right. It says bar staff,
right. Gaming
service workers, cabin crew, whether it's on a cruise ship or in airline.
Yep.
Construction worker, uh-huh. Then number four or number five is switchboard operators.
God, they have
that still exists.
Yeah.
What?
Where did you pull this?
Is this from the Saturday Evening Post, Russ?
The 1950s called. They want their survey back.
Right, my God. There's a lady on roller skates putting a wire into old Bob's phone.
Switchboard operator.
This says it comes from the U.S. Census Bureau from this year, from 2017. Yeah. Switchboard operators. We're talking about a handful of people who connect you to the right person, and their divorce rate is 49.7%. So if you call, let's say you call here at iHeart, and you get the person that answers the phone, that's the switchboard operator, basically to patch you through to, you know.
There's no patching you through, though, dude. I mean, this is not a room full of rooms. It's not like that anymore.
No,
I mean,
if you call here and there's like, oh, give me Chris Kantmeyer, okay, and they punch
that's
you.
That's just a receptionist. That's not
okay, well,
that's what
they're saying. Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
And it says because they talk to a lot of people.
Okay, here we go. No. So, getting even more technical with that. Think about it this, your healthcare services.
Mm-hmm.
So, this example, exactly what you're talking about, but most people are going to run into it if you call your insurance company, if you call your healthcare provider, if you call any of those people, and they have it all networked out, you're talking to a switchboard person who's going to basically funnel that phone call, try to, you know, basically decept and defuse you so as you don't talk to the right person ever.
I'm telling you straight up, I have not had anyone in the last 5 years of my life that I've called, that I've run in, it's all automated.
Oh, no, I did it the other day when I had to call about my insurance.
Yeah, dude, I just did a job search right now in Orlando, Crown Plaza or Orlando Universal, PBX operator, receptionist, switchboard operator, PRN, United or Damn. Universal Health Services, switchboard operator, Lawnwood Regional Medical Center, St. Lucie County. That's how they're listing the jobs.
That's insane, man. Yeah. It's all automated. Everything I run into is automated.
And also here, this is last on the list. This is a number six in this list of the highest divorce rate. And so if your husband or wife does one of these jobs, look out. But telemarketers says here that they have a divorce rate of 49.7% divorce rate because it's a high pressure occupation and a lot of hours.
Yeah.
And it takes a toll on a person, and they
being told no.
I bet that's more of a mood thing than anything, that you just come home pissed off every day, that you have, for one thing, that you have to go back the next day, and secondly, that you spend an entire day being told F off, never call me again.
How'd you get my number?
Take me off your call list. It's never positive.
I just hang up. I had one yesterday.
Just as bad, though.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine a day full of that.
Is it
followed
bad?
By another day full of that.
Yeah.
Is it bad that I wait for them to do their whole spiel and then I hang up?
I save them the time. I just simply say, hey, man, I'm not interested. Take me off your call list. It's really simple stuff.
I mean, I've been getting – there's one, and it always comes up as a Winter Park number, and they've been getting me for like a month now.
I tell them straight up, I've never bought anything from anybody who sells like you do. I search out the products I want to buy. Thank you very much for your time. I wish you the best.
I feel like I'm missing an opportunity because they're letting me know that I get a rate on the credit card that they say I own that
I
don't.
Right, exactly. I'm not mad at them. I mean, I know they're trying to make a living. I don't like being bothered, but for the most part, I don't even pick those calls up.
Sometimes I'll start like telling them about my problems, you know, and it's like, yeah. And, you know, and they have no empathy.
That explains the increasing death rate.
Yeah, seriously.
What's going on where you're at?
Yeah, really. How's your life?
So where are you calling me from?
I would have thought that, well, okay, the bartender thing I could see, you know, bartenders, I could see that. And I would have thought it's like strippers would have been on there.
Yeah, but I mean,
they don't get married.
Yeah, they don't get married, and they do. They marry drummers of local bands. That's what they do. guy says here, he goes, I'm a pool guy. Where are all these horny housewives? I can't run into one of these bitches. I'm trying to get somebody to show me some legs.
Hey, I want to remind you that on Friday at night, or Friday afternoon, it's a great happy hour. 3-for-1 drinks. It's the Monster Holiday Meetup. Come out, say hi. I'll be there from 4 to 7. It's 3-for-1 drinks. We'll be filming for our brand new YouTube channel, which you can go check out today. Check it out right now. Subscribe to it. That way you can be a part of it and get a new video every day. It's at iHeart Monsters Radio. But I will be at Ember on Friday. They'll be filming, and it's going to be awesome. And join me for 3-for-1 drinks for a holiday meetup at Ember in downtown Orlando. You're listening into the Monster of the Morning.
Willing to admit our preoccupation with short-term solutions in exchange for something shiny.
Is that a new iPad?
Real Radio 104.1.
Real Radio 104.1.
You're listening to the Monster of the Morning, Drew Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim and Angel, someone on the texting service. By the way, you can text us at 77031, and sometimes we'll text you back. You can text the rest of the shows if you want to, powered by David Mastroeda. So do we know anyone who's bit by the Bitcoin bug? Yeah. Ross Pageant, the Monster Comic of the Year. He'll be in tomorrow, I'm pretty sure. He's bit by it, and he's doing pretty well.
He's biting back.
Hey, I saw last week's podcast when he was in. He went into detail with some of the stuff that he's done.
He did, yeah. And I saw this morning that it hasn't started to fail yet, and people now are selling off property in order to buy Bitcoin.
Wow. I would not do that.
And they're saying, man, that is a bad idea, but there are people that are selling real estate in order to buy Bitcoin because it keeps going up, going up, and going up. You're just waiting for that to crash, right? Like, it's at some point, it's got to.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a gotcha moment with that. I don't know. Warren Buffett came out and said it a few years back when he heard about it. He goes, I don't know if I, you know. And again, I mean, he's a pretty savvy investor. You don't get the name Oracle of Omaha without knowing what you're doing, right? So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's just not something. I'm a relatively conservative investor, Russ. I don't mind small percentages over long periods of time. There are guys out there that like to roll the dice, and they like to gamble and make a lot of money fast. And if they can, God bless them. Well, just not my game.
Now, Ross Pageant wouldn't be in that group, though, because he bought it a long time ago when it was hardly anything. And now,
oh, no, no, no.
Oh, he did recently buy some?
Yeah.
But I mean, once he saw it going up, he's gaming now, dude. Yeah. He bought it at nothing. Now he's got money to play with.
Oh.
And he believes in it. Let me tell you what, you get that guy into a conversation, and, you know, Ross doesn't strike you as a dude who will get into a deep conversation about financial wellness. But
he's a smart dude, though.
But he's a lot smarter than you give him credit for, and when you talk to him, you understand he's done his research. This is not a thing he stumbled into. I mean, he's done his research.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
He believes in it, and right now he's laughing at us because he's way ahead.
Yeah,
way ahead.
I told you yesterday there was a kid that he made $3 million selling and trading this stuff, and he's like an 18-year-old kid. I got a quick email. I don't think this will take long for us to give our opinion. This is from Kelly. Kelly's been listening for a long time.
Hi, Kelly.
And listens to the show for the past 10 years. Thank you, Kelly. And you can always email me, russ@wtks.com. She wanted to get everybody's opinion. I'm emailing you for some advice. A guy I like just asked me out, so I was happy to put the date together. But the date was for breakfast, not for dinner. He told me he was working late until... he was working late every night until Christmas, but he's got mornings open and wanted to do breakfast on Friday, this coming Friday. Is breakfast date, is that just as legitimate as a dinner date? Do you think this guy really likes me or is just making time for me in the morning because he doesn't like me enough to take me out to dinner?
You know what it is?
How should I take this date proposal? Kelly, been listening for a long time.
I can tell you exactly what it is. You know, this is a new thing now. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
So the breakfast date is a new thing, and here's what it is. The breakfast date, from what I understand and what I've heard, is it's the date to get to know you without the pressure of
drinking
it,
and
it being at night, having alcohol, having something kind of get uncomfortable. You know, breakfast places are a little different than dinner places. You know, it's the beginning of the day, so now you have something to think about as you move forward. I've heard a lot more. And by the way, I've heard a lot more guys doing business breakfast now than business lunches now.
Yeah, I wouldn't take it as, well, he doesn't like me enough to take me out for a real date. Look at it.
That's his available time.
Look, you got an opportunity to go out with a guy, and if the guys hit it off and he likes you and you like him, then it's going to be fine. If it doesn't, if you don't hit it off, then, you know, just you had free breakfast.
And you know what? You don't have, for one thing, it doesn't cost a lot of money. You don't, again, there's no alcohol involved, so it doesn't get weird.
Yeah.
And you have the rest of your day to continue on. So if the date goes very well, guess what? You got something cool to think about that's kind of enhanced your day from then.
I see nothing wrong with it. Well, now, Angel, you haven't said anything. What do you think? If a guy asks a girl to breakfast...
Let me just stop there. Angel, would you ever ask a girl first date to go to breakfast as opposed to dinner?
No. But I think... And so I'm trying to work it all out right now because if I was to do that, I guess the only days I could possibly do that would be on a Saturday or Sunday.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'll meet you Saturday, because let's say you have to work on Saturday night. You got to work on Sunday.
It would have to be Sunday.
So Sunday morning, I can meet you at the Waffle House.
Man, it's got to be one damn awesome chick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really, dude?
Why?
I'm sleeping.
Oh.
You heard the problems I'm having with sleeping?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really want to sleep.
What about a Saturday at 10 o'clock? We can do breakfast at 10.
Heard it, you say that from the right off the bat. I was against it, and then I heard Jimmy's crazy explanation for it.
I think he's
and
right.
Now I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Cracker Barrel's a nice, you know, dinner, breakfast.
Let's back up for a second. Right? Why would that big bastard call my opinions like crazy?
I didn't say opinion, just a crazy explanation. So, but I'm buying it.
Brunch, dude. I'm telling you, straight up.
I'm buying
the Sunday,
your crazy explanation like I'm buying Bitcoin.
A brunch date, it would also be a big tell, because if you can eat it all, and girlfriend does...
And you can get a mimosa crazy.
Oh,
but see that. Now you're already breaking the rule because I thought we were not supposed to be drinking.
No,
the opportunities are fewer and far between.
Yeah, what do I know? I also said you got to pour each other sake and all that stuff. I mean, the rules change.
I actually kind of like the idea of the breakfast date. I think it's actually kind of cool.
Breakfast is one of my favorite.
You know, you're more aware in the morning. You've gotten a good night's sleep. You're probably going to have a better conversation.
Oh, this is fascinating. You want to hear? We want to hear this.
What?
So according to this, you're not okay. So these are the pro reasons to do the breakfast date. You're not drinking, so you won't have cloudy judgment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's a strike for me.
Mm-hmm. Angel's going to need some cloudy judgment.
You'll know what you look like when you're sober. Right. You'll know what they look like when you're sober.
Right. Also, in good light. You gotta remember, a lot of restaurants in low light.
Breakfast food is easy food to love. Okay,
yeah,
I'll buy that.
Right.
There's a built-in time cap, so you've got, you know, you've got a built-in window. Hey, we got like an hour or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Kelly, I say go for it. Have a good time. Have some breakfast. At least he's asking you out. Look, I mean, don't think too much.
It's a date. It doesn't have to fit like a program.
It just sounds crazy. Like, hey, I'm going on a breakfast date Wednesday. Woohoo! Okay.
What's wrong with that?
You're gonna try it. Try it, Angel. Think of a girl and ask her for a breakfast date and see how it works.
All right, I will do that.
You won't. You sorry?
I will.
You're not.
I'm gonna. Yep.
You ever heard of coffee? Dates happen all the time. Dude, I stumble into my Starbucks on Saturday and Sunday mornings, grab my coffee and stuff before I go out doing my thing, and there are people in there having dates. No question. They're just having coffee. It's a coffee date.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's like a meetup, though.
Yeah, you bring your dog.
Let's meet up for coffee. That's like someone that's like really not vested. They have a way out.
Jimmy, tonight, are you doing chili tonight?
Dude, you got some busted rules. You know that? You got some busted-ass rules, yeah. So we're cooking chili tonight. So we're going to make the championship chili. Basically, what we're going to do is this. I can't do the braised beef because it takes forever to make, but we're going to make it with hamburger meat tonight. But I'm going to show you the flavor profiles I used to win the chili cook-off a couple times, and I think you'll enjoy it. We're going to do it tonight. My wife, Hal Tuesday, Primetime Kitchen's Facebook page.
Very good. And I want to thank you, first off, all the people that went
to the
brand-new Monster YouTube channel. Oh. We have our own YouTube channel. Like 1,600 people have checked it out today. Be one of the others. Get on there and subscribe to it. There's going to be something new and cool every day. There's some great interviews on there right now. There's some wrestling matches, some cool stuff up there. So go to, here's how you find it. You go iHeart Monsters Radio, and it'll come up. Three words, iHeart Monsters Radio. It'll come up. Like it and share it and subscribe to it. And we'll put something cool and different up every day. And it's a brand new thing. I want to thank my friends over at Three Arrows Creative Group for putting this together. It's a four-camera shoot. It's awesome. And if you want to be able to see our show next week live when we do the Monster Telethon, you want to be subscribed so you're all set up and ready to go. Tomorrow's our Christmas Wish show, so if you have a Christmas wish, try to get through tomorrow, and maybe we'll help make that Christmas wish come true. All right? Stay tuned for the News Junkie right after the Monsters. The 3 o'clock is the one and only Jim Phillips from the Film Style. Then it's Tom and Dan. Then it's Real Laughs Monster Comics. We're back tomorrow to do our thing from Dirty Jim and Angel.
And the leader of this mess of merry men, Russ, let's go on a breakfast date. Rollins!
Hey, thank you so much for listening. We ain't got to go home.
We got to get the hell up on out of here.
Swirl.
Measuring success by the number of childhood traumas uncovered.
Your father and I are going to the store.
Her show.
To buy lubricant.
Real Radio 104.1.